family that were affected by the car fire. Most of the cleanup is done now, and a lot of families are looking at rebuilding. If you relied on a well for your water system, it's important to assess the condition of your well and its capabilities to be able to meet the demands of new construction codes. I'm Ted Ogilvy with Diamond Core Drilling. We've been providing water well systems and pumps in Northern California since 1980. Let us help you with your rebuilding process. That's Diamond Core Drilling, 275-8162.
Come on in to Black Bear Diner, where the portions are bear-sized and the service makes you feel at home. With breakfast served all day, anytime's right to dig into our one-of-a-kind sweet cream pancakes, Bear Benedicts, or generous sides of thick-cut bacon and tantalizing sausage patties, house-made from our signature recipe. Whenever you do breakfast, do it at Black Bear Diner, because around here, every plate comes with heaping helpings of happiness.
Black Bear feels like home.
Hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. I've got a ton to get to this hour. We're going to jump right into this debate because the debate last night actually had some interesting moments. The first 45 minutes of the debate, nothing happened. The first 45 minutes of the debate, everybody sort of patted each other on the back. They had this group hug, and then things got a little spicy. So here is the very, very short summary of how this thing went. Not a great night for Pete Buttigieg. Yeah, he had his moments, but not a great, probably the worst night for Pete Buttigieg he's had so far. Really bad night for Elizabeth Warren. So some people are giving Warren more credit than she deserves here. Warren had a bad night. Bernie Sanders is always Bernie Sanders. Joe Biden is always Joe Biden. And Amy Klobuchar forced everybody else to eat salad with a comb. So that it was actually a pretty good night for Amy Klobuchar. So let's just jump right in to this debate, because the big winner, as always, whenever we have a Democratic internal debate, is President Trump. There's a swing state poll out today that shows that in the swing states, Biden is tied with Trump, that he leads, Trump does, every other Democratic candidate who was on that stage last night. There's a reason for this, and that is that Democrats continue to give President Trump campaign commercials. We haven't even seen Trump weaponize all of the content that Democrats have given him in the past several months. And there's a lot of it. I mean, a lot of it. So this whole thing starts off, this whole debate starts off, and again, they were down to only seven candidates who were on the stage. Tom Steyer is not a real candidate, and Andrew Yang was provided his typical 2 minutes and 30 seconds to talk and say that he's going to give everybody $1,000 and all of this. But there are really five candidates on the stage, five serious candidates for the presidency. Amy Klobuchar is only considered a serious candidate, one, because she's a senator, and two, because she's running at about 7% in Iowa. So you could see the possibility of a late surge by Amy Klobuchar if, for example, she starts to draw away support from Pete Buttigieg, which is exactly why she went after Buttigieg last night. Buttigieg was by far the most attacked candidate on the stage. Joe Biden sort of stood off to the side, so did Bernie Sanders. And they watch the kids clock each other. And by kids, I mean a 70-year-old senator from Massachusetts and a 37-year-old newbie from South Bend, Indiana, and Amy Klobuchar, who, let's be honest, you wouldn't want to meet Amy Klobuchar in a dark alley, considering all of the stories that have been written about her and her apparently sadistic tendencies. In any case, this thing starts with everybody talking about impeachment, because impeachment is the order of the day. And don't worry, we'll get to impeachment a little bit later on in the show. Nancy Pelosi, by the way, has a new strategy on impeachment, and that is we're not going to give the charges to the Senate, which is the dumbest strategy of all time. In fact, one of the Democrats' key witnesses in their House Judiciary Committee hearing was a Harvard Law professor. And that Harvard Law professor has now suggested, that same professor has now suggested that if you do not actually submit the articles of impeachment to the Senate, then Trump has not been impeached. Technically speaking, so Trump can continue to claim he has not been impeached until they actually submit the articles to the Senate, according to Noah Feldman, who is the Harvard Law professor Democrats called during their House Judiciary Committee hearing. So self-owned from Nancy Pelosi right there. In any case, this thing starts and everybody is talking impeachment. And the angles that the various candidates took on impeachment is indicative of their sort of angles in the campaign generally. So Joe Biden's angle on impeachment is that it's his job to restore integrity to the presidency. Here is Joe, slow old Joe, who looked a little bit livelier last night, has geritol and was ready to go.
You know, we need to restore the integrity of the presidency, of the office of the presidency. And it's about time we get that underway. My job, and I think the job of all of us up here, is to, in fact, well, that's not true. Some are going to be actually voting in the Senate. But my job is to just go out and make the case why he doesn't deserve to be president of the United States for another 4 years.
Okay, so basically, I'm here, I'm Joe, you know me, right? His case for impeachment is really his case for being president, and that is that he is a tree stump. And wouldn't you like a tree stump as opposed to this wild orange man over here? That's always been Joe Biden's case for the presidency. It's a back to normalcy case. Then there was Bernie Sanders' case. And that is that Donald Trump, it's not that he is a wild, crazy person. It's really that he's not a socialist. So here's Bernie Sanders making his pitch for the presidency on the basis of impeachment.
I believe, and I will personally be doing this in the coming weeks and months, is making the case that we have a president who has sold out the working families of this country, who wants to cut Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid after he promised he would not do that, and who has documentedly lied thousands of times since he is president.
So just wondering, has President Trump restructured Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid? Because I'm pretty sure that I would have noticed if he had. By the way, all of the talk about President Trump and selling out the working class, jobs have been increased under President Trump in every single state in America. According to new polling data from CNN, 76% of Americans say that current economic conditions are good. 68% say that they are confident that economic conditions will be good a year from now, which would be after the election. So good luck with the whole the economy sucks case, because that ain't going to fly. We're going to get to more of the Democratic debate in just 1 minute. First, let's talk about these socialist candidates for just a second. So if you watched that debate last night, what a bleep show. I mean, my goodness, the socialism on display, insane, top down, crazy stuff. But how socialist are each of these candidates? How do they rank? Whom should you fear most? Well, good news for you. FreedomWorks has put together all of the information you could possibly need. They put together a socialist scorecard evaluating where these presidential candidates stand on the issues of the day. If you'd like to check it out, just text Ben, that's my name, Ben, to 52886. You will receive exclusive access to FreedomWorks' socialist scorecard. You can evaluate the candidates yourself, decide if they are indeed socialist. FreedomWorks has spent a lot of time analyzing their various policies of the people running against President Trump, looking into the deepest and darkest policy positions of each of them. If you'd like to view this information, please text Ben, that's my name, Ben, to 52886. You can receive exclusive access to FreedomWorks' socialist scorecard right now. Again, that's text my name, Ben, to 52886, and you get access to that FreedomWorks socialist scorecard. FreedomWorks does a lot of wonderful work. They'll give you all the activist information you could possibly need. Text Ben, my name, Ben, to 52886. Okay, back to this debate. So they're talking impeachment, and they are trying to make the case for why they ought to be president based on impeachment. Elizabeth, so we've already heard from Biden, and it's I'm a tree stump, and Bernie, I'm a communist, and now we hear from Elizabeth Warren that she's an anti-corruption fighter. Now, as we will see, she has the worst debate of anybody of the night. I mean, just a terrible, terrible debate for Elizabeth Warren. I know conventional wisdom is that she sort of held steady. False. She completely collapsed. It was really, really bad for her, because her entire shtick has been that she is fighting corruption. That is her entire deal, is that she is fighting corruption. Here she is making that case. We'll see later on in the debate. Pete Buttigieg clocks her one good, and she goes flying through the wall. Here's Elizabeth Warren.
You know, this president has made corruption originally his argument that he would drain the swamp. And yet he came to Washington, broke that promise, and has done everything he can for the wealthy and the well-connected, from tax breaks to ambassadorships.
See, she's an anti-corruption fighter, and this is her shtick. There's only one problem. It's not true. It's not true. Every rule that she has set for herself as a candidate, she has already broken as a candidate in prior election cycles, and this is something Buttigieg is going to bring up. Okay, now, to Pete Buttigieg. He's been surging in Iowa. He's been surging in New Hampshire. He never had great national numbers, but that early state momentum has been very solid for Pete Buttigieg, and so his pitch has basically been, I'm Obama, but instead of being the first black president, I'd be the first gay president. Sure, I don't have any real qualifications to be the president of the United States. Sure, I've been like the mayor of a town with 8,000 votes. Remember, he won his election in South Bend, Indiana with 8,000 votes. This will come up later on in the debate as well. 8,000 votes is fewer votes than I get in a typical Twitter poll. When I just put a poll on Twitter, I will get many more than 8,000 votes. Okay, this is it's amazing. This person is considered a national candidate based on his record. He's very good at this. He's a talented politician. Here he is channeling Obama. Hope and change.
But here's the good news. It's up to us. No matter what happens in the Senate, it is up to us in 2020. This is our chance to refuse to be taken in by the helplessness, to refuse and reject the cynicism.
Okay, so again, channeling the Obama optimism. As it turns out, Pete Buttigieg, he can only fly above the fray for so long. The only good answer on impeachment, by the way, was given by my boy Andrew Yang. He had a moment later on in the debate I didn't like very much, but this was a very good moment for Andrew Yang, being a real human being, saying, listen, You keep talking about Trump, you keep talking about impeachment. The real problems of the country have nothing to do with Trump.
The more we act like Donald Trump is the cause of all of our problems, the more Americans lose trust that we can actually see what's going on in our communities and solve those problems. What we have to do is we have to stop being obsessed over impeachment, which unfortunately strikes many Americans like a ball game where you know what the score is going to be, and start actually digging in and solving the problems that got Donald Trump elected in the first place.
Okay, this is an actual smart answer from Andrew Yang. The problem is, of course, Andrew Yang is not one of the top contenders. Okay, then they move on to the economy, and this is a real problem for the Democrats. It's a problem for the Democrats because, as I've said, the poll numbers on the economy are very, very strong for President Trump. So Joe Biden is asked by one of the moderators, so Americans kind of like this economy because the economy is real good. They may not like Trump, but what about people who say they don't love Trump, but they love the economy? And Biden says, well, no, I just refuse to accept that people like the economy. Yeah, good luck with this argument.
Well, I don't think they really do like the economy. Go back and talk to the old neighbors in the middle-class neighborhood you grew up in. The middle class is getting killed. The middle class is getting crushed. And the working class has no way up as a consequence of that. And the idea that we're growing,
and we don't have to listen to the rest of him spieling about this. We don't have to listen to the rest of him because he says that, then Buttigieg says that, then Warren says that. It's always the economy isn't really good. Sure, you feel like the economy is good, but it's because you don't know. In your heart, you know the economy is bad. Record stock market, record low unemployment in the black community, in the Hispanic community, among women, like everyone. But apparently it's very, very bad. And then you have Bernie Sanders, who does his usual crazy routine. He actually said, and this is such a lie, he said this in like every debate, and it's always a lie. He says, today in America, we have the highest rate of childhood poverty of almost any major country on earth. Of any major country on earth, we have the highest rate of childhood poverty? Has he heard of most of the world? Has he heard of like anywhere else other than the United States? Because that is bat bleep lunacy. That is just untrue. Okay, so the Democrats are completely disconnected on economics. How do you know they're completely disconnected on economics? Because you end up with Elizabeth Warren saying things like this. So she is asked about her tax policy by Judy Woodruff. This is a PBS Politico debate. So Judy Woodruff asks, you know, people say that if you increase taxes too much, it might be bad for the economy. Here was Elizabeth Warren's answer.
And when you see a government that works great for the wealthy and the well-connected and for no one else, that is corruption, pure and simple, and we need to call it out for what it is.
So Judy Woodruff asks Elizabeth Warren, how do you answer top economists that say that these taxes are not going to be good? Listen to Elizabeth Warren's crazy answer.
How do you answer top economists who say taxes of this magnitude would stifle growth and investment?
Oh, they're just wrong.
Oh, well, if non-economist Elizabeth Warren says that huge, enormous taxes won't hurt the economy, I totally believe her. I totally believe her. We're just going to completely rewrite Basic Econ 101 because Elizabeth Warren says, oh, they're just wrong. They're just wrong. You know, like taking trillions of dollars out of the U.S. economy and pouring it down the rat hole that is government is not going to hurt the economy in any way because she says that that's wrong, that it's not true. Okay, yeah, good. Again, I don't think that most Americans believe this. And this is why Buttigieg, so basically the story of Buttigieg's night is that he kept owning Elizabeth Warren over and over. He just kept destroying Elizabeth Warren over and over. And then Amy Klobuchar would come in from the wings like Macho Man Randy Savage and just pile drive him. It was very amusing. Here was Pete Buttigieg, though, owning Elizabeth Warren on taxes.
Yes, we must deliver big ideas. And yes, taxes on wealthy individuals and on corporations are going to have to go up. We can also be smart about the promises we're making. Make sure they're promises that we can keep without the kind of taxation that economists tell us could hurt the economy. On issue after issue, we've got to break out of the Washington mindset that measures the bigness of an idea by how many trillions of dollars it adds to the budget, or the boldness of an idea by how many fellow Americans it can antagonize.
Okay, that is true. It's why Buttigieg is seeing an upswell. Okay, that one sentence where he says we've got to break out of the Washington mindset that measures the bigness of an idea by how many trillions of dollars it adds to the budget, that could come from a Republican debate, right? I mean, that could come from any Republican on any stage anywhere. And he's the only person who will say that remaining in the Democratic debate. And that is why he at least has some level of popularity. Coming up, the Democrats make their wildest proposals on climate change. One of these proposals not going to go well for Joe Biden. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
If you have hard water, the limescale not only leaves white spots, it clogs pipes and breaks down appliances, costing you hundreds of dollars in energy and wear. Eliminate limescale and other water issues like brown staining, bad odors, and lead with HydroCare water products available from Wave Home Solutions. Wave's affordable systems don't use salts or chemicals. You'll love the way your water tastes, smells, and looks. Satisfaction guaranteed. For more information, go to WaveBestWater.com. That's WaveBestWater.com.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Jen London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. It's a free service, and we've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad. There's a place for answers, A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-391-1755. That's 1-800-391-1755.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
If you are behind on your bills, then this message is for you. How would you like to have a large portion of your credit card debt or medical bills forgiven? National Credit Card Relief would like to give you free information on a proven debt forgiveness program. It's not bankruptcy. It's not consolidation. This special program actually wipes clean the portion of your debt that is forgiven. Call for your free forgiveness information now. 800-291-6670. That's 800-291-6670. Don't wait. Call 800-291-6670. Not available in North Dakota.
If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes, you need a new start. Our New Start program will stop collection efforts, remove any liens the IRS has in place, and help you reduce your back taxes by as much as 80%. That's right, 80%. Call 1-800-312-9970. Let the professionals at Coast One Financial Group fight to get you the new start you deserve. If you owe at least $10,000 to the IRS and need a new start on your back taxes, call 1-800-312-9970.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Welcome back. So, Joe Biden made a statement about climate change last night. It's not going to help him very much. Joe Biden cuts an ad for Donald Trump in this debate that will be replayed 1,000 times if Joe Biden is the nominee. Tim Alberta, who's one of the moderators, who apparently he ran into flack from PBS because he works at Politico now, but he once used to write for National Review, and this is very, very bad. Now, there are a bunch of top-line reporters who used to write for National Review. Like, Eliana Johnson was a top-line reporter for, I believe, the Washington Post. Very nice gal. She used to work for National Review. Tim Alberta used to work for National Review. Apparently, this is very bad. He's the only person asking intelligent questions on the stage. He says to Joe Biden, so how many jobs are you willing to sacrifice on the altar of climate change here? And Joe Biden is like, all of them.
As president, would you be willing to sacrifice some of that growth, even knowing potentially that it could displace thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of blue-collar workers in the interest of transitioning to that greener economy?
The answer is yes. The answer is yes, because the opportunity for those workers to transition to high-paying jobs, as Tom said, is real. We're the only country in the world that's ever taken great, great crises and turned them into enormous opportunities.
Nothing says enormous opportunity like laying off hundreds of thousands of blue-collar workers. I mean, that is one hell of a... I mean, you think that won't be in every commercial? That he will displace hundreds of thousands of blue-collar workers? The answer is yes. Joe Biden, not a great general election move. Now, it may help him in the primaries, but in that general, that is going to come back to harm him. Then, of course, you get Bernie Sanders just being a crazy person, because this is Bernie. The fact that Bernie Sanders is even a remotely leading candidate in the Democratic Party really says a lot about the current state of the Democratic Party. They have lost their minds. Here is Bernie Sanders explaining that we should take our entire defense budget and we should spend it on fighting the sun. Here is Bernie Sanders.
The United States has got to lead the world. And maybe, just maybe, instead of spending $1.8 trillion a year globally on weapons of destruction, maybe an American president, i.e. Bernie Sanders, can lead the world. Instead of spending money to kill each other, maybe we pool our resources and fight our common enemy, which is climate change.
We're going to get the Chinese to stop spending money on their weaponry and instead spend money on climate change. We're going to get the Russians to abandon all of their military spending and instead we're going to spend it on climate change. How are we going to do that? You're going to elect me. I'm crazy. So crazy. I'm just going to walk into Xi Jinping. I'm going to say, you want a piece of this? I'm a crazy man. Have you seen these hands? I'm nuts. These hands are deadly weapons. Look at them. They move without my own permission. Do you want to be on the wrong side of these? Okay, Bernie. Okay. The one of my favorite climate change responses from Elizabeth Warren. So she openly acknowledges that if you want to lower carbon emissions, you have to use nuclear power. And then she immediately announces that she will never build a new nuclear power plant. So she's utterly unserious about this, obviously. But that is Elizabeth Warren in a nutshell. Her dishonesty is rank. As we will see, it comes back to bite her. I know I'm previewing that a lot, but it really came back to bite her last night. Here's Elizabeth Warren explaining, sure, we need nuclear power, but I'm not building any of it.
So I see it right now as we've got to get the carbon. We've got to stop putting more carbon into the air. We've got to get the carbon out of the air and out of the water. And that means that we need to keep some of our nuclear in place. I will not build more nuclear.
Oh, so you need nuclear because you need less carbon emissions, but also we're not going to build any more nuclear power plants. Very serious person, Elizabeth Warren, with many proposals and plans, I have been informed by reliable people. Okay, Joe Biden did have a couple of good moments during that. I thought that this was Biden's best debate by a fairly long shot. This was his best moment. So he was talking about, somebody asked him whether he was naive to believe that he could work across the aisle. Because Elizabeth Warren has said this. She said that he's just naive to believe he can work with Republicans. And here was Joe Biden's answer. This is actually quite a good answer.
I refuse to accept the notion, as some on this stage do, that we can never, never get to a place where we have cooperation again. If that's the case, we're dead as a country. We need to be able to reach consensus. And if anyone has reason to be angry with the Republicans and not want to cooperate, it's me. The way they've attacked me, my son, and my family, I have no love. But the fact is, we have to be able to get things done. And when we can't convince them, we go out and beat them like we did in the 2018 election in red states and in purple states.
Okay, that was Biden's best answer, because the other Democrats are on stage going, we're going to run roughshod over these people. We're going to line them up against the wall. And then Biden's like, no, we got to work with them. And listen, I don't love them, but we got to work with them. This is actually Biden's best appeal. And many of the Democrats don't actually understand this appeal. The only candidates on stage making this appeal are three: Biden, Buttigieg, Klobuchar. Those are the only ones on stage who are making that appeal. And it's actually a fairly smart appeal. And then we get into the race section of the debate. And here's where all the intersectional glory of the Democrats comes out. Now, listen, you know I love my boy Andrew Yang. You know, Andrew, I think Andrew Yang is a good guy. I think he's a solid dude. I disagree with him on a lot of politics. But I think that he's an honest fellow. I thought that this answer last night from Andrew Yang was his first dishonest answer in the entire election cycle. So Andrew Yang is asked about the fact that he is the only person of minority status on the stage. I mean, Buttigieg is gay, but the only person of color on the stage is what Yang is asked. And here is Yang's answer. And I thought, again, the fact that this is sort of the requisite pandering on the Democratic stage says a lot about their view of America. Here's Andrew Yang explaining that he feels bad that he's the only minority on the stage. By the way, just quick note, for the intersectional activists, Asians don't count as part of the intersectional coalition. They're too successful and too highly educated, which is why they don't care that Asian students are being barred from Harvard University at a disproportionate level in order to make room for other quote-unquote less fortunate minorities. Here's Andrew Yang.
It's both an honor and disappointment to be the lone candidate of color on the stage tonight. I miss Kamala, I miss Corey, though I think Corey will be back.
Okay, that's just not true. I'm sorry. Andrew Yang is not sitting around at night going, I miss my friends. Again, I'm amused and bemused by the fact that the Democratic Party seems to have forgotten that Barack Obama was president for 8 years. Okay, do they have to keep proving their bona fides every single election cycle? But the fact that they have to keep pandering is just ridiculous. Ridiculous. Coming up, the Democrats jump into foreign policy and they be crazy. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Learn more about our shows and hosts. Check us out online at KCNR1460.com. KCNR, Shasta, Redding.
KCNR is proud to announce that we are now live at 96.5 FM, as well as online, and as always, heard on 1460 AM. Weekday mornings, wake up with the Sue McClain News Hour, followed by Free Fire Radio, your talk radio station at the epicenter of change in downtown Reading. 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. Noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. 3 to 6, the hard-hitting constitutional expert, Mark Levin. Monday through Thursdays at 6 p.m., local shows feature everything from the paranormal to pop culture to unsung heroes of our area. 7 to 9, Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. And finish your weekday with the Chris Plant Show, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. KCNR, now on 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and always online. More than ever, we're your locally owned, community-connected talk radio.
Did you know that the City of Reading has started licensing commercial cannabis activities within the city limits? Synergy is the first of the city's approved retailers to obtain licensure, bringing to the Reading area the most experienced retailer in the North State. They will ensure that your visit is both professional and comfortable. Access is simple and discreet. Synergy has a private 25-space parking lot at the back of the building. Synergy is located at 345 Hempstead Drive, Reading.
For many people, their faith, their family, and their health are the most important things in their life. Every day, the work that I do influences these things. Children go to college, couples move into their first home, people retire, businesses start, and charities are supported. All of this in part because of the work I do. I can make complicated things clearer so people understand them. I can solve problems and find solutions. People need someone to put their interests first. And for many people, I am that someone. I can lend an ear, stand with you during life's ups and downs, and provide that advice at just the right time. That's why I love my job. That's why I'm a financial advisor, Susan Eastman, with Wells Fargo Advisors in Redding, California, 243-7561. Once again, this is Susan Eastman with Wells Fargo Advisors. I'd love to be your financial advisor. Please give me a call at 243-7561.
Hi, I'm Rob Burrows from the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center. Come join me as the new host of brand new Battlefield Expressions show, debuting December 7th, 2019. Battlefield Expressions is a go-to program providing veterans and their families an opportunity to call in and ask questions and receive information particular to their individual needs. Veterans and their families who sacrificed and served our country. Every Saturday, 9 to 11, here at 96.5 FM, 1460 AM Talk Radio.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? Every week there's a new chapter. To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program, Sunday morning at 9 a.m. on KCNR 1460 AM with your hosts, Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
You can take us with you anytime, anywhere, live with our streaming audio feed at kcnr1460.com.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So the Democrats on domestic policy are bad. The Democrats on foreign policy are even worse. And they start off with Israel. Bernie Sanders is so awful on Israel, it is almost impossible to overestimate how bad he is on Israel, because he will always surpass your expectations. So Bernie Sanders is asked about Israel, and he plays the I'm super pro-Israel card. Yes, his entire campaign is staffed by people who hate Israel. He campaigns with Linda Sarsour. He's been endorsed by open anti-Semites Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib. But don't worry, guys. He loves Israel. Listen to this statement he makes about Israel. Apparently, Israel exists where there's no such thing as terrorism. Palestinian terrorist groups do not run the Gaza Strip and the West Bank. And everything is hunky-dory. It's just those weird Jews, right? It's just those weird Israelis and their weirdness. Here's Bernie Sanders saying the real problem in the Middle East is Bibi Netanyahu. He may have neglected, you know, the intervening 60 years of Israeli existence where its neighbors attempted to destroy it before Benjamin Netanyahu became prime minister. He may be neglecting the fact that even Benjamin Netanyahu's political opponents actually agree with him on foreign policy. But it's very convenient for Bernie to blame everything on Israel, because he is, of course, a far leftist who actually does not like Israel. He actually despises Israel.
But what U.S. foreign policy must be about is not just being pro-Israel. We must be pro-Palestinian as well. And whether, in my view, we must understand that right now in Israel, we have leadership under Netanyahu, who has recently, as you know, been indicted for bribery, who, in my view, is a racist. What we need is a level playing field in terms of the Middle East, which addresses the terrible crisis in Gaza, where 60 or 70% of the young people are unemployed.
Yeah, that might be because a terrorist group runs the Gaza Strip, but his solution is that we should be dumping hundreds of millions of dollars into the Gaza Strip so those terrorist groups can continue to conduct terror. By the way, the convenient Judaism of Bernie Sanders is something to behold. The man has nothing to say about Jewish identity for nearly his entire 80 years on planet Earth. But the moment it is convenient for him to cite his Jewish identity in order to bash the Jewish state, then he's all up in it, right? He is a perfect case of somebody who's only Jewish when convenient. They can stuff it with this whole, I'm Jewish, therefore I have capacity to speak on this. Nonsense. Nonsense. If the only reason that you're citing your Jewishness is so you can pretend to be a minority, or so that you can claim that Israel's very, very bad, you're going to have to name for me another time when Bernie Sanders has ever talked about Judaism in a serious way. Yeah, sure. And then you have Pete Buttigieg, who sort of glossed over the question, and he ripped on Trump and suggested that Trump is actually an anti-Semite because he welcomes quote-unquote white nationalists into the White House. Yeah, that was just silly. And then you had Joe Biden. Biden at least is living in something resembling the real world. Like, he's wrong on Israel, but at least he recognizes you have to keep giving them physical aid so they can maintain their security. But it really is when you get to China that it becomes obvious that the Democrats don't know what they are talking about. The only person who had a good answer on China is Andrew Yang. Andrew Yang actually understands a lot of the challenges that America is facing with regard to China. His take on China and their technological war on the United States is exactly right. Here's Andrew Yang.
I have sat with our leading technologists, and they say they cannot match the Chinese resources. China just produced its first major smartphone that does not have Google apps, and it is now trying to export its technology to the rest of the world. What we have to do is build an international coalition to set technology standards, and then you can bring the Chinese to the table in a very real way, because this is their top priority and this is where we need to outcompete them and win.
Okay, so Yang is right about this. He's the only person who had anything credible to say about this. The rest of them were like, I'll be mean to China. Sure. Okay. Yeah, right. Okay, so most of this debate so far has basically been everybody hugging each other, right? It was more of a town hall than a debate. But then came what we've all been waiting for, the Rock'em Sock'em Robots. So we started getting questions about age and about qualification, and it got kind of fun. So this began with Tim Alberta asking Vice President Biden about his age. He says, let's face it, dude, you're old. Like, you're soups old, really old. And Joe Biden proceeds to act kind of old.
Just to follow up, Vice President Biden, if elected, If elected, you would turn 82 at the end of your first term. You'd be the oldest president in American history.
Are like
you
Winston willing, Churchill.
Are you willing to commit American history?
American history.
Yes. Are you willing to commit tonight to running for a second term if you're elected next November?
No, I'm not willing to commit one way or another. Here's the deal. I'm not even elected one term yet, and let's see where we are. Let's see what happens.
Okay, and everybody laughs at this because everybody recognizes that dude is real old. So, not a horrible moment for Biden, but it is kind of funny that he's trying to prove that he's not old, and then he cites British history as opposed to American history. Okay, then we get to more. So, let's get to the dicey exchanges. Let's get to the dicey exchanges. So, I've been pitching this one all day. The moment when it became clear to everyone that Elizabeth Warren is the worst. The worst. So, Elizabeth Warren and Pete Buttigieg go at it. She starts off by attacking Pete Buttigieg for using bundlers and for fundraising from billionaires. And Pete Buttigieg is ready for this attack because Elizabeth Warren has been trotting this out on the campaign trail for weeks now. And Buttigieg is a person who does his homework, right? Buttigieg, for all of his flaws as a candidate and all of his, I would say, nastiness as a religious person and all of this kind of stuff, for all of that, Pete Buttigieg is a man who does his homework. And so Elizabeth Warren comes after him and suggests that he is in the pocket of big donors. And Pete Buttigieg just knocks her through a wall. And it is phenomenal because she has had this coming for a long time politically. She has had this coming because she has been doing the I'm on my high horse over here fighting corruption. And this is the lady who has violated every rule that she currently says that she holds to, she has violated in the past. And Buttigieg calls her out on it, and it is quite ugly for her. Now, it's not scot-free for Buttigieg because she does get one line on him. And that line was the most quoted line of the debate. You're going to hear the phrase wine cave here. The reason that it's the most quoted is because, of course, most of us have never heard of a wine cave. What the hell's a wine cave? Is it like a place that back in caveman days they used to go and just like guzzle grapes? Like, what was that? Apparently it's something that very, very wealthy people have. I'm not a wine drinker, so I don't know much about it. In any case, here is Warren and Buttigieg going at each other. Warren gets the most memorable line, but Buttigieg just finishes her on the stage.
We can't have people who can put down $5,000 for a check drown out the voices of everyone else.
The way we're going to win is to bring everybody to our side in this fight. If that means that you're a grad student digging deep to go online to PeteForAmerica.com and chip in 10 bucks, that's great. And if you can drop $1,000 without blinking, that's great, too. We need everybody's help in this fight.
So the mayor just recently had a fundraiser that was held in a wine cave full of crystals and served $900 a bottle wine. Think about who comes to that. He had promised that every fundraiser he would do would be open door, but this one was closed door. We made the decision many years ago that rich people in smoke-filled rooms would not pick the next president of the United States. Billionaires in wine caves should not pick the next president of the United States.
Mr. Mayor, your response. You know, according to Forbes magazine, I am literally the only person on this stage who's not a millionaire or a billionaire. So if this is important. This is the problem with issuing purity tests you cannot yourself pass. If I pledge never to be in the company of a progressive Democratic donor, I couldn't be up here. Senator, your net worth is 100 times mine.
I do not sell access to my time. I don't do call time with millionaires and billionaires.
Sorry, as of when, Senator?
I don't meet behind closed doors with big dollar donors.
Senator, your presidential campaign right now, as we speak, is funded in part by money you transferred, having raised it at those exact same big ticket fundraisers you now denounce. Did it corrupt you, Senator? Of course not. So to denounce the same kind of fundraising guidelines that President Obama went by, that Speaker Pelosi goes by, that you yourself went by until not long ago, in order to build the Democratic Party and build a campaign ready for the fight of our lives, these purity tests shrink the stakes of the most important election.
Okay, so that is Elizabeth Warren going up against the king, and you best not miss, and she missed. It was not a good look. Now, the wine case thing will stick, so it's not a complete miss. To be fair to Warren, it's not a complete miss. But it doesn't help her because he clocked her there. Right? For him to point out that she has taken billionaire money and then she took that money and then she immediately funneled into her presidential campaign all the leftovers from her Senate campaign, that is 100% true. It is 100% true. And the former governor of Pennsylvania, Ed Rendell, wrote an entire piece about this, criticizing her for setting these sorts of false purity tests. So, frankly, good for Pete Buttigieg for fighting back on that particular score. Now, as we'll see, Buttigieg then ended up getting kicked around. And so it didn't end up great for Buttigieg either. But at that moment, in that exchange, Warren got really hurt because she is deeply dishonest. And that is obvious to anyone who's been watching this campaign. Now, we'll get to more of this in just 1 second. But first, let's talk about some great earbuds for you. So it is the Christmas season. It's the time of giving. And who wouldn't like to receive a pair of wonderful earbuds? But not, you know, the earbuds that have the wires connected. You take them out of your ears, you put them in your pocket, and now they're all tangled up. Also, the ones that are super duper expensive where you lose them and then you feel awful about it. Instead, why don't you just get a pair of great earbuds that ain't going to cost you a fortune, especially if you're giving it as a gift. I know. We have to save ourselves some money while we're doing the gift giving. This is where Raycon comes in. Raycon just released their best model yet, the E25. They have 6 hours of playtime, seamless Bluetooth pairing, more bass, and more compact design that gives you a nice noise-isolating fit. Raycon's wireless earbuds are incredibly comfortable. They're perfect for on-the-go listening and for taking phone calls. Unlike some of your other wireless options, Raycon earbuds are both stylish and discreet, no dangling wires, no stems. Get 15% off your order at buyraycon.com/Ben. That's buyraycon.com/Ben for 15% off Raycon wireless earbuds. That's buyraycon.com/Ben. These are great earbuds at a fraction of what you're going to pay if you're going to get other wireless earbuds. They're great. Go check them out right now. Buyraycon.com/Ben. That's buyraycon.com/Ben. buyraycon.com/Ben. Get the best available Bluetooth wireless earbuds that you can get for a price that ain't going to break the bank. Buyraycon.com/Ben. Go check them out now. So Buttigieg crushes Elizabeth Warren in that exchange by pointing out that she's dishonest. The beneficiary of that is Bernie Sanders. So Bernie Sanders immediately responds, and he sort of knocks Joe Biden, but he really goes after Buttigieg. And the difference between Bernie Sanders and Warren is that Bernie is an actual true believer. Right? Bernie's not BSing this stuff. Like, he's full of it, and he's awful, and he believes terrible things. But Bernie is a true believer. I mean, that is a man who will set himself on fire for his cause, or at least buy himself a third lake house for his cause. Here's Bernie Sanders explaining that Pete Buttigieg has, in fact, taken money from billionaires.
My good friend Joe, and he is a good friend, he's received contributions from 44 billionaires. Pete, on the other hand, is trailing, Pete. You only got 39 billionaires contributing. So, Pete, we look forward to you. I know you're an energetic guy and a competitive guy, to see if you can take on Joe on that issue.
Okay, so that is a brutal hit. By the way, Sanders had a good night because Sanders actually was more upbeat. I think he feels like he's doing well in the polls because he is. And he felt like he was in a good mood the entire night. He dropped a few jokes here and there. It was actually a good night for Sanders. If you're going to talk about the people who won the night, Biden won the night, Sanders won the night, Klobuchar had a good night. Why do I say Klobuchar had a good night? Because she laid the hardest hit on Mayor Pete. I mean, this is a brutal, brutal hit on Mayor Pete. I'm talking here about clip 33. So Amy Klobuchar is talking about experience. And she points out that there are a lot of people on the stage who have some experience, and Pete Buttigieg is not one of those humans. Here's Amy Klobuchar. Buttigieg tries to get out of it. He's prepped for the answer. The problem is he was not prepped for the response, because goodness gracious, I mean, she just, from the top rope, Amy Klobuchar, go!
When we were in the last debate, Mayor, you basically mocked the 100 years of experience on the stage. I just think you should respect our experience when you look at how you evaluate someone who can get things done.
You actually did denigrate my experience, Senator, and it was before the break, and I was going to let it go because we got bigger fish to fry here. But you implied
I don't think we have bigger fish to fry than picking a president of the United States. We should have someone heading up this ticket that has actually won and been able to show that they can gather the support that you talk about of moderate Republicans and independents, as well as the fired up Democratic base. And not just done it once, I have done it 3 times.
I got to respond to that. Yeah. Senator, I know that if you just go by vote totals, maybe what goes on in my city seems small to you. If you want to talk about the capacity to win, try putting together a coalition to bring you back to office with 80% of the vote as a gay dude in Mike Pence's Indiana.
Again, I would, Mayor, if you If you had won in Indiana, that would be one thing. You tried, and you lost by 20 points.
But let's talk about how we win.
Excuse me.
Okay. So Buttigieg, when he's cornered, he finally plays the Mike Pence is a bigot. He's a bigot. And Klobuchar just finishes him right there. I mean, that's a bad look. And Klobuchar, by the way, has a level of support in Iowa. It's not tremendous, but you are going to see a bump for Amy Klobuchar in the aftermath of this debate. She had a good, aggressive debate. Finally, when the stage was cleared off of all the riffraff, and by that I just mean like everybody who's getting 2% or less, once the stage was cleared off and you had, you know, people who are actually getting 5% or more in any state poll, then you could actually see the contrast between the candidates. And you see that Klobuchar actually has the record that Pete Buttigieg pretends that he has, that Amy Klobuchar has the position that Pete Buttigieg presents that he has. And so I would not be surprised to see Buttigieg start to wane now. I wouldn't be – like people are saying, I don't know how much the debate's going to matter. It's going to matter some. And I think that the image of Pete Buttigieg as fresh-faced, that only lasts so long as people fail to recognize that Pete Buttigieg has never won an election that is larger than a thimble. And he was elected class president in third grade, basically, in terms of national politics. That's not a rip on South Bend. That's a statistical reality. And Klobuchar pointing that out, it's not going to help him. The wine cave thing is not going to help him. It's going to look like he is a grasping person who's attempting to grab as much wealth as he can from a variety of people because he doesn't actually have a base outside of upper class white establishmentarian types. So while he hurt Warren, and he did, because she is incredibly dishonest, she's already hurting, right? She was already on the downslope. Buttigieg was on the upslope. I think you're going to see that stall out now. I think at the very least you're going to see him even out. I think that you may see him start to decline. And I think you're going to see a little bit of a bump for Amy Klobuchar, specifically because of all of this. Coming up, the Democrats pander and pander hard. Never stop pandering. Never stop, never stopping. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes, you need a new start. Our New Start program will stop collection efforts, remove any liens the IRS has in place, and help you reduce your back taxes by as much as 80%. That's right, 80%. Call 1-800-312-9970. Let the professionals at Coast One Financial Group fight to get you the new start you deserve. If you owe at least $10,000 to the IRS and need a new start on your back taxes, call 1-800-312-9970.
If you are behind on your bills, then this message is for you. How would you like to have a large portion of your credit card debt or medical bills forgiven? National Credit Card Relief would like to give you free information on a proven debt forgiveness program. It's not bankruptcy. It's not consolidation. This special program actually wipes clean the portion of your debt that is forgiven. Call for your free forgiveness information now. 800-291-6670. That's 800-291-6670. Don't wait. Call 800-291-6670. Not available in North Dakota.
If you have hard water, the limescale not only leaves white spots, it clogs pipes and breaks down appliances, costing you hundreds of dollars in energy and wear. Eliminate limescale and other water issues like brown staining, bad odors, and lead with HydroCare water products available from Wave Home Solutions. Wave's affordable systems don't use salts or chemicals. You'll love the way your water tastes, smells, and looks. Satisfaction guaranteed. For more information, go to WaveBestWater.com. That's WaveBestWater.com.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Joan London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. They've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad.
I was so glad that I called A Place for Mom. My advisor really listened and was truly my partner in finding senior care for my dad. She went out of her way to get to know him as a person and was always there whenever I had a question.
The senior living advisors at A Place for Mom partner with thousands of families every month, listening and offering local knowledge and advice to help find the best senior living communities across the country. And it's a free service. Here's the number.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-469-0286.
There's a place for answers, a place for mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-469-0286. That's 1-800-469-0286.
Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. So if you ever wanted to hear Democrats pander, just say the word transgender and listen to the pandering begin. My goodness. So again, the pander bear just is the imaginary spirit animal of every Democrat. And so you ended up with the bizarre spectacle of Bernie Sanders explaining that he is going to wipe out discrimination against transgender communities, apparently by waving his hands wildly and yelling.
We need a president who will do everything humanly possible to end all forms of discrimination against the transgender community, against the African-American community, against the Latino community, and against all minorities in this country.
I like how he adds that little blanket statement on the end. Oh, my Lord, because he started running out. He's afraid he's going to miss somebody. It was like an Oscar speech where you miss your agent. And I have to name every minority I can think of right now. So gay people, transgender people, bisexual little people, African Americans, Latinos, Native Americans, not Jews, they're not intersectional, not Asians, they're not intersectional, and the other minorities I missed, all of them, like all the minorities. But Sanders pales in comparison to Elizabeth Warren. Again, so dishonest, so awful. Here's Elizabeth Warren. I mean, you want to, there's die hard and then there's pander hard. I mean, this is pander hard with a vengeance. Here is Elizabeth Warren explaining what she's going to do for the transgender community. And this is just, I mean, you know what she is? There was talk about President Trump back in 2016 that he spoke conservatism as a foreign language, that he sort of approximated where he thought conservatives were, and that's why he ended up saying things like, we want to put women who have abortions in jail. And everybody who's pro-life was like, well, not so much. It's because Trump was sort of estimating where he thought the constituents were. Elizabeth Warren treats the base of the Democratic Party like they're idiots. She treats them like they're idiots. And so listen to her pandering to the transgender to transgender Americans. The way that she does this is so overt and blatant and stupid, it boggles the mind. Here's Elizabeth Warren.
Here's a promise I make. I will go to the Rose Garden once every year to read the names of transgender women, of people of color who have been killed in the past year. I will make sure that we read their names so that as a nation, we are forced to address the particular vulnerability on homelessness. I will change the rules now that put people in prison based on their birth sex identification rather than their current identification. I will do everything I can to make sure that we are in America that leaves no one behind.
So you know what she's going to do for you transgender people? If you get murdered, she's going to mention your name in a Rose Garden speech. Aren't you excited? Aren't you pumped? She's not pandering. That's how deeply she feels things. Just like she feels abortion so deeply, she's going to wear a scarf. A scarf. Ooh. How this lady rose to near the top of the Democratic Party is beyond me. Okay, so it is a weak field. There was one good moment for Joe Biden that I think is going to be a memorable moment for Joe Biden. Joe Biden was talking about how he helped stuttering kids on the campaign trail. This became a particularly memorable moment for Joe Biden, specifically because Sarah Huckabee Sanders promptly stepped directly on a rake because she doesn't understand that Joe Biden was once a kid who stuttered and has struggled with that. Here was Joe Biden saying this. Sarah Huckabee Sanders then tweeted something nasty out about it, and Biden really smacked her, and that was a good moment for Biden politically speaking. Here's Biden talking about this.
My wife and I have a call list of somewhere between 20 and 100 people that we call at least every week or every month to tell them I'm here.
This is Carlin DeBott, owners of KCNR Radio.
We just want to say happy holidays from everyone at the KCNR family. With the giving season upon us, we wanted to thank you for living local. The Reddit community means a lot to us.
So this season, as you're driving through town doing your holiday shopping, support the advertisers that support this station. Local shops are often overlooked, but that's where you'll find the most unique and touching gifts this Christmas.
Live local, listen local, love local. And from everyone here at KCNR,
Merry Christmas and happy holidays.
Come on, let's sit down together at the Black Bear Diner on Highway 5 in East Cypress and Redding.
Stop by for a family-friendly atmosphere, bear-sized portions, and expansive menu. Enjoy breakfast all day with bear-sized portions of their hearty Bigfoot chicken fried steak and eggs, scrumptious bear claw French toast, and signature sweet cream pancakes. Good food, good friends, good times at a place that feels like home. The Black Bear Diner in Redding.
Black Bear feels like home.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Redding by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Gordon Griffin. The White House says President Donald Trump will deliver the State of the Union in February. Here's correspondent Sagar Magani with
the
report.
The response came after House Speaker Nancy Pelosi sent a letter to the president formally inviting him to address a joint session of Congress February 4th. The letter comes 2 days after Pelosi's House voted to impeach the president. She says she's inviting him to deliver the address in the spirit of respecting the Constitution. It's unclear if the Senate will have acted on impeachment by the time the president steps into the House chamber. No date has been set for its trial, with Pelosi and Senate GOP Chief Mitch McConnell at an impasse over how the trial will be run. Sagar Magani at the White House.
Britain has moved closer to leaving the European Union. Parliament gave preliminary approval by a vote of 358 to 234 of Prime Minister Boris Johnson's Brexit bill. BBC correspondent Norman Smith files this report.
Boris Johnson said he believed Brexit could free the UK to strike its own trade deals and to play a pioneering role in a fourth industrial revolution, a view flatly rejected by the Labour leader Jeremy Corbyn. Boris Johnson's hope that MPs might now unite behind Brexit is almost certainly wishful thinking. But with a divided and disorientated opposition and a commanding majority, it would seem he has little to fear from Parliament.
Johnson's commanding Conservative majority in Parliament means Brexit is almost certain to become law in January. Health officials say they believe the vast majority of cases in the U.S. vaping illness outbreak have been tied to a thickening agent added to illicit vaping liquids. That news Friday comes as authorities said they have shut down 44 websites advertising the sale of illegal vaping cartridges. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Thinking about life insurance? Did you know in just a few minutes you can find the best price from up to 10 price competitive companies for free? You can with SelectQuote. For example, George is 39. He was getting sky-high quotes from other companies because he takes meds to control his blood pressure. But when I shopped around, I found him a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $22 a month. I'm SelectQuote agent Dan Savino, and believe me, if SelectQuote isn't shopping for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 800-607-3551. That's 800-607-3551. 800-607-3551. Or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
There's been a delay in the start of the trial of the Parkland school shooter.
The judge postponed the case against Nicholas Cruz from the original January 27th start date after defense attorneys say the original schedule did not afford them enough time to mount a credible defense. They also said such a rapid pace for a case of this magnitude runs the risk of legal errors that could mean a reversal on appeal. Prosecutors say they don't object to a delay of a few months. The 21-year-old Cruz faces the death penalty if convicted in the February 2018 massacre that left 17 people dead. Rhonda Rockster reporting.
President Trump celebrated on Friday the launch of Space Force, the first new military service in more than 70 years. In signing the 2020 National Defense Authorization Act that includes Space Force, the president claimed a victory for one of his top national security priorities just 2 days after being impeached by the House, part of a $1.4 trillion government spending package. More on these stories at townhall.com. A Ukrainian security researcher reports finding a database with information of more than 267 million Facebook users. With more now on the story, here is correspondent Mike Gracia, who files this report.
An independent security consultant in Kyiv, Ukraine, reports finding a database online that had information on over 267 million Facebook users, mostly based in the U.S. Bob Diachenko says the data included names, phone numbers, and unique user IDs, and was online for at least 10 days beginning December 4th before he discovered it. Ominously, Diachenko says someone downloaded the database to a hacker forum 2 days before he discovered it. Security experts say the affected Facebook users are at higher risk of being targeted by spam, password-stealing phishing attacks, and identity theft attempts. I'm Mike Gracia.
More on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Gordon Griffin.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
I expected it to be a lot easier.
I didn't know what step to take next.
I was transitioning from the military. I was a vehicle gunner.
An avionics specialist.
I missed my unit, my family.
Playing with my daughter, I'd felt like a stranger.
I didn't have a clear sense of what to do next.
And then I thought, if I'm going through this, other veterans have gone through it too, right? So I reached out, and I saw that I wasn't alone.
Go to maketheconnection.net to learn how other veterans have overcome the challenges of transitioning out of the military.
Hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. I've got a lot to get to this hour. A little bit later on in the hour, we'll talk about Christianity Today. It's a publication originally started by Billy Graham. They have an editorial today calling for President Trump to be removed from office. Why is that newsworthy? Well, I'll explain in just a little bit. Plus, we'll get to your questions in the mailbag. We have been remiss. We have not taken enough of your questions this week, so we will take a lot more of your questions today. But we begin at this hour with Nancy Pelosi rolling out her big strategy. So, what is her strategy? Her strategy is, I'm not going to give you the impeachment charges. So we passed it in solemn, sober, sad, solemnity, seriousness. Very, very sad. Very solemn, sober. And then we're just not going to give it to you. So na 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 boo boo. And Mitch McConnell is sitting there like, well, you don't have to if you don't want to. And like, what is this Wile E. Coyote nonsense? Like, they lit a stick of dynamite. And now they're just like, and what if I don't hand it to you? What if I just keep holding it forever, forever? And the answer is nothing's going to happen. In fact, as it turns out, Noah Feldman of Harvard, he has pointed out now that the Trump impeachment isn't actually complete unless the charges are handed to the Senate. That was the professor that the Democrats called in the House Judiciary Committee to talk about why Trump ought to be impeached. On Thursday afternoon, House Majority Leader Steny Hoyer announced no additional votes will even be taken until January 7th. They're just going to hold on to this thing until the new year. But here is what Feldman says. He says, quote, according to the Constitution, impeachment is a process, not a vote. If the House does not communicate its impeachment to the Senate, it hasn't actually impeached the president. So Trump can just keep claiming that he's never been impeached because he hasn't until they convey it to the Senate. And once they do, Mitch McConnell puts an end to it and we're done. Which is why Trump is going around going, doesn't feel like I'm impeached. Do you feel like I'm impeached? I don't feel like I'm impeached. Nobody's impeached. I feel peachy keen. There's President Trump going for it.
What does it feel like to be the third president in U.S. history to be impeached?
Well, I don't feel like I'm being impeached because it's a hoax. It's a setup. It's a horrible thing they did. They happened to have a small majority, and they took that small majority, and they forced people. And, you know, they said, oh, I watched Pelosi out there saying, oh, no, we don't want to talk to anybody. They put the arm on everybody. They tried to get them to do what they had to do. Many of those people were like Jeff, where they didn't want to vote that way. But it doesn't feel, to me, it doesn't feel like impeachment.
Okay, well, it doesn't feel like impeachment because even according to Noah Feldman, it isn't. He says if the articles are not transmitted, Trump could legitimately say he wasn't truly impeached at all. The Constitution doesn't say how fast the articles must go to the Senate. Some modest delay is not inconsistent with the Constitution or how both chambers usually work, but an indefinite delay would pose a serious problem. Impeachment, as contemplated by the Constitution, does not merely consist of the vote by the House, but of the process of sending the articles to the Senate for trial. Both parts are necessary to make an impeachment under the Constitution. The House must actually send the articles and send managers to the Senate to prosecute the impeachment, and the Senate must actually hold a trial. Feldman, of course, is exactly who the Democrats called to say that Trump should be impeached in the first place. But the Democrats are like, look at how brilliant we are. Nancy was like, I'm so smart. Look what I've done here. We've impeached him, and now we're not even going to do anything. So what are they going to do? Hold on to this sucker for 2 years? Like, could you end up with the bizarre circumstance where the House votes to impeach, and then 3 years from now, after the Democrats win the Senate for some odd reason, they take it up again and then convict the president? Could this be like one of those weird constitutional amendment cases? We've had this in the past, where a constitutional amendment passes Congress and then is sent to the states for ratification, at which point it takes 89 years to be ratified. Could you have something like that? This is actually an open question right now about the Equal Rights Amendment, because there were a certain number of states that had passed it. Now the question is, can you come back 30 years later and continue the process? According to the Washington Post, Robert Costa, Philip Rucker, and Rachel Bade reporting, some of those reporters are members of the Merry Impeachmas crowd, Congress was paralyzed Thursday over President Trump's impeachment as House Speaker Nancy Pelosi delayed acting to initiate the Senate trial that will determine whether Trump remains in office, a dramatic procedural move that places the two chambers at a bitter standoff. A day after the House voted to impeach Trump, Pelosi announced she would refrain from transmitting the articles of impeachment to the Senate until Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell sets rules for the trial that are accepted by Senate Democrats. So in other words, never, because the Senate Democrats are never going to accept the rules for the trial. So Trump could go into the election saying he's never been impeached. Oh, the self-ownership. My goodness. You know, it is a fundamental precept of human nature that we each own ourselves, but apparently Nancy Pelosi is taking that to its logical extension. The House instead voted on Thursday to adjourn. Their business here is done. They're going home for the holidays. Throwing into doubt when the Senate might be able to begin its trial, potentially pushing it further into an election year, threatening to deny Trump the satisfaction of a swift acquittal. Yeah, except Trump seems kind of satisfied. He doesn't seem to care very much about how fast they move forward on this thing. I mean, yes, Trump, I'm sure, on a personal level, is irritated that this whole thing is happening. But Trump likes being irritated. Like, this is the thing people don't understand about Trump. When Trump is mad, people have sort of an emotional status quo. Right? No matter what the circumstances around them, they will go back to that emotional status quo. So some people are just calm and fairly happy in their orientation toward life. And you can put them in the worst possible circumstance, and that is where they will end up emotionally. And some people are just pissed, and it doesn't matter what you do. You could give them $1 million, you can put them in a nice house, give them a beautiful wife, and they will still be pissed off the rest of their life. It's not like if they achieve X, then they will stop being pissed. Well, Trump is an agitated personality by nature. And so he's perfectly happy to be agitated, is the truth. And he's perfectly happy to go around campaigning about how he is being victimized, because he literally said this in 2016, remember? He did a famous interview where he said, I whine and I whine and I whine and I whine until I win. And then I whine and whine until I win. Well, he's got pretty good cause to whine now, doesn't he? Pelosi's maneuver underscored her eagerness to maintain control over the process rather than turning over the reins to McConnell. Yeah, but you don't have control of the process anymore because that's not how the process works. That's not how any of this works. It was also part of a Democratic effort to pressure Senate Republicans to allow testimony from key Trump administration officials who had defied subpoenas during the House's inquiry. So the Senate Republicans don't have to call anybody they don't want to call. This is just hypocrisy of the highest order. If Democrats wanted to call any of these witnesses, you know when they should have done that? When they were in the majority in the House. All they had to do was wait for the adjudication of the subpoenas. Instead, because they wanted their obstruction of Congress charge rather than the actual testimony, they proclaimed to the world that they were not going to wait. It was too important to move forward. Minority Leader Chuck Schumer said, we ask, is the president's case so weak that none of the president's men can defend him under oath? Well, you know, you could have just waited. I get the feeling you ain't honest here. Trump, McConnell, other Republicans cried foul, accusing Pelosi and the Democrats of having a weak case against the president for abuse of office and obstruction of Congress, effectively withholding those charges from Senate scrutiny. McConnell said, a political faction in the House of Representatives has succumbed to a partisan rage. He argued that Pelosi had produced, quote, the most rushed, least thorough, and most unfair impeachment inquiry in modern history. Well, obviously true. Fact check, true. It's still possible the Senate trial could move ahead relatively quickly if the two sides resolve their disputes in the coming weeks. At the White House on Thursday, Trump was unbowed, predicted he would be acquitted. Asked about his strategy for the Senate trial, Trump said, he emphasized his partisan advantage in the chamber. He said, we think that what the House Democrats did is unconstitutional, and the Senate is very, very capable. Democrats have 47 seats. They need 67 to get rid of him. Meanwhile, President Trump taunted Democrats by showcasing the party switch of Representative Jeff Van Drew of New Jersey, who opposed to Trump's impeachment and officially joined the GOP. Van Drew then headed over to the White House. Trump cast the Democratic Party as inhospitable to moderates, which of course is true. Van Drew pledged his undying support to Trump. He bent the knee. It's like something out of Game of Thrones here. He has to present himself for allegiance to President Trump. I'm sorry, American politics is just ridiculous at this point. Meanwhile, the president also ignored calls to apologize for attacking Representative Debbie Dingell and her late husband, John. And actually, the White House press secretary defended President Trump, which they shouldn't. She said, the president is a counterpuncher. Dingell has been dead for 10 months. So typically, don't punch corpses. It's a bad look. Also a bad thing to do as a moral human being. But I think we are far beyond the boundaries of morality in modern American politics. In just a second, we'll get to more on Speaker Nancy Pelosi's bizarre decision to withhold this bomb with a wick coming out of it that is on fire from the Republicans. Brilliant. We'll get to that in just one second. First, let's talk about something that is probably on your holiday to-do list, but you keep putting it off because it sounds terrible. What is this thing? Life insurance. Why would you want to think about death during this beautiful time of the year? Well, the answer is you don't. But that's why you should just do it and get it over with. All you have to do is head on over to PolicyGenius.com. PolicyGenius makes finding the right life insurance a breeze. In minutes, you can compare quotes from the top insurers and find your best price. You could save $1,500 or more a year by using PolicyGenius to compare life insurance policies. Once you apply, the PolicyGenius team will handle all the paperwork and the red tape. And PolicyGenius doesn't just make life insurance easy. They can also help you find the right home and auto insurance, disability insurance as well. So, if you need life insurance but you aren't sure where to start, why not start at PolicyGenius.com? It only takes a few minutes to find the right life insurance policy, apply, cross another thing off that to-do list. PolicyGenius, when it comes to life insurance, it is not only nice to get it right, it is important to get it right. Make sure that your family is not left bereft if you plot. They're going to be sad, but at least they shouldn't be indebted to the gravedigger. Go check out PolicyGenius.com. Get that life insurance done, and then you don't have to worry about it ever again. Go check them out, PolicyGenius.com. So the New York Times, of course, is championing all this. Nancy Pelosi said, we're ready to send over the charges. When we see what they have, we'll know who and how many we'll send over. By withholding the articles, Pelosi is hoping that Trump, as according to the New York Times, who is eager for a trial, will put pressure on Mitch McConnell to commit to Democratic demands, including the ability to call witnesses during the trial. Basically, Democrats are hoping that Trump's going to be dumb enough to say to Mitch McConnell, listen, I want to testify, and I want everybody to testify, and I want everybody's story to be heard, and I want it now. And Mitch McConnell's like, okay, and then they just move forward. That ain't going to happen. You think Mitch McConnell is dumb enough to put Rudy Giuliani under oath? You think Mitch McConnell wants Mick Mulvaney up there being asked questions? Now, it may not be horrible for the president's legal case, but it ain't going to be good for him PR-wise, will it? McConnell, here's McConnell's response, cocaine Mitch at his finest. He said, I admit, I am not sure what leverage there is in refraining from sending us something we do not want. He's like, okay, you don't want to send us this turd on fire in a paper bag? I feel like I could live with that. He said, alas, if they can figure that out, they can explain it. Meanwhile, other House Democrats say they would prefer never to transmit the articles. Fine with me. Classic Mitch. Classic cocaine Mitch. McConnell has infuriated Democrats and complicated the picture for them, asserting he has no intention of acting as an impartial juror, but would instead do everything in his power to quickly acquit the president because he thinks it's BS. Still, says the New York Times, Mr. McConnell has a challenging political balance to strike as well. With a slim majority and a small group of moderates and politically vulnerable Republicans in his ranks who might want to hear from witnesses or otherwise ensure a balanced proceeding, he will have to find consensus on how to move forward. Well, no, he won't. He won't. None of the Republicans are, like, begging to hear from John Bolton. On Thursday, McConnell and Schumer spoke for the first time about the parameters. The talks went nowhere. McConnell said, as of today, we remain at an impasse. Pelosi shot back, I don't think anybody expected that we would have a rogue president and a rogue leader in the Senate at the same time. First of all, why do Democrats insist on making McConnell awesome? Like, why? There are lots of flaws with Senator Mitch McConnell. The dude spends up the wazoo. He's constantly cutting deals. But why do they make him seem great? Right? They're like Moscow Mitch. Okay, so now he's a Russian spy. And then they're like Cocaine Mitch. And it's like, yeah, man, that sounds great, Cocaine Mitch. And now you got Miss Pelosi saying, rogue leader McConnell, rogue leader. Like he's actually going to fight in Star Wars? Like he's Rogue One? With that said, maybe they can piss off Trump into doing something dumb. Lindsey Graham says that Trump is, quote unquote, mad as hell about the Democrat hold. He said, I met with the president. He's demanding his day in court. Of course, Trump should say that. But now he's saying, after the Democrats gave me no due process in the House, no lawyers, no witnesses, no nothing, they now want to tell the Senate how to run their trial. Actually, they have zero proof of anything. They're never even going to show up. They want out. I want an immediate trial. Well, that makes sense for him to say, politically speaking, that he wants to get this thing done. James Clyburn says, until we can get some assurances from the majority leader he's going to allow for a fair and impartial trial to take place, we'd be crazy to walk in there knowing he has set up a kangaroo court. If you have a preordained outcome that is negative to your actions, why walk into it? I'd much rather not take that chance, except that you're not actually accomplishing anything. You've accomplished nothing. Very, very, very silly. Very silly stuff from Nancy Pelosi. Still haven't had it explained why this is a good idea. Alrighty, coming up, the media make a big deal out of a Christianity Today editorial saying that Trump should be removed from office. There is one key fact that they are missing about Christianity Today as a publication, demonstrating once again either they are ignorant or they are stupid. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Joan London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. They've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad.
I was so glad that I called A Place for Mom. My advisor really listened and was truly my partner in finding senior care for my dad. She went out of her way to get to know him as a person and was always there whenever I had a question.
The senior living advisors at A Place for Mom partner with thousands of families every month, listening and offering local knowledge and advice to help find the best senior living communities across the country. And it's a free service. Here's the number.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-469-0286.
There's a place for answers. A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-469-0286. That's 1-800-469-0286.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
If you have hard water, the limescale not only leaves white spots, it clogs pipes and breaks down appliances, costing you hundreds of dollars in energy and wear. Eliminate limescale and other water issues like brown staining, bad odors, and lead with HydroCare water products available from Wave Home Solutions. Wave's affordable systems don't use salts or chemicals. You'll love the way your water tastes, smells, and looks. Satisfaction guaranteed. For more information, go to WaveBestWater.com. That's WaveBestWater.com.
If you are behind on your bills, then this message is for you. How would you like to have a large portion of your credit card debt or medical bills forgiven? National Credit Card Relief would like to give you free information on a proven debt forgiveness program. It's not bankruptcy. It's not consolidation. This special program actually wipes clean the portion of your debt that is forgiven. Call for your free forgiveness information now. 800-291-6670. That's 800-291-6670. Don't wait. Call 800-291-6670. Not available in North Dakota.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So the media are going nuts today because the publication Christianity Today, which was founded by Billy Graham, the Reverend Billy Graham, has an editorial from a guy named Mark Galley that says Trump should be removed from office. Trump should be removed from office. We'll get into the details of the editorial in just a second, but the media have gone nuts over this. I mean, we've seen just a bevy, hundreds of articles about the amazing, shocking news that Christianity Today has now come out against President Trump. Now, Franklin Graham, the son of Billy Graham, he came out and he said, President Trump's great. Don't want him going anywhere. He's been a big defender of Christianity, big defender of evangelicals and of evangelical political priorities. So my father was a backer of Trump and no. Okay, but this has not stopped the media from going nuts over all of this because it's a shocker, right? I mean, this is man bites dog, not dog bites man. After all, Trump has 81% evangelical support, and here is a major Christian newspaper that is coming out and bashing Trump. There is one thing they are missing. Christianity Today has been anti-Trump for quite a while here. In April of 2017, shortly after Trump took office, they wrote an article called What to Make of Donald Trump's Soul. It was written by Mark Galley, who is editor-in-chief of the publication. And that article is viciously anti-Trump. And they say, I mean, here's what the article says. Before and after the election, Christianity Today has weighed in on our political or moral concerns about Trump. He's promoted policies and appointed people who work against matters we have editorialized on. His callousness toward refugees, his seeming indifference to the environment are two examples. And while evangelicals may disagree about the president's policies on such matters, few would argue that Trump is a moral exemplar. Both the left and right have noted vices and ethical problems, from utter self-centeredness to cruel remarks to blatant conflicts of interest and more. One dimension that has mostly been neglected, though, especially among Christians, is a matter of some consequence. This is from 2017. To understand its gravity, we must begin with the most positive of theological statements. Trump is a man whom God loves. He is a sinner for whom Christ died. To love such a man surely includes challenging the policies and moral tenor of his administration. But this prophetic work too easily slips into rejoicing in evil. We note this especially among late-night comedians who delight in mocking Trump's every misstep. What might better characterize our reaction is less satire and more lament. Blessed are those who mourn their sins, Matthew 5:4, and because they see themselves in solidarity with all sinners, who also mourn the sins of others. And more shocking still, given the current climate, instead of being quick to speak truth to power, we might also, from time to time, speak mercy to the immoral, and if there is anyone who needs mercy, it is Trump. Some believe that Trump is a baby Christian. Again, this is from 2017, same editor, who is making his way in the faith. While we would never presume to judge another's heart, we are deeply troubled by what is observable about Trump's spiritual health. Aside from his ethical breaches and questionable character, his attitude toward the sacred has been confused and cavalier. He says he reveres Jesus not for his death and resurrection on our behalf, but mainly for his bravery and courage. In Iowa, he spoke of the Lord's Supper, saying, I drank my little wine and have my little cracker. He is reputed to have said that he has no need of forgiveness, but he qualified that in an interview with Cal Thomas. He fundamentally sees himself not as a sinner in need of mercy, but as an honorable man. Again, it is for God alone to judge the state of the heart. But the gospel of Jesus Christ casts the behavior of Trump in a transcendent light, and that light looks to us like darkness. Okay, so that's from 2017. The reason that I'm pointing this out is because if somebody says something in 2017, and then they say the same thing in 2019, that's not news. See, the word news has this root. It's called new. Something new has to have happened in order for it to be news. So if I was in favor of lower taxes in 2017, and now I am in 2019 in favor of lower taxes, that is not news. And yet, the media are treating this as news, which suggests they know nothing about Christianity Today, know nothing about the publication, and know nothing about the author. Or alternatively, that they think they can make hay while the sun shines by pointing out that this publication is going after Trump. The fact is that they could talk to any of the 81% of evangelicals who support Trump, and they will give you the answer. Trump is a vehicle for the policy preferences of many evangelicals, and also evangelical Christians, like many religious people in today's America, do not trust Democrats with their religious freedom, nor should they. That's what's happening. But instead, the media are leaping into the, well, Christianity Today condemned him. That means the evangelicals are about to abandon ship, or that the evangelicals are bad evangelicals. Well, maybe people have a different calculation as to what the boat is about. Perhaps people recognize that Trump is a deeply flawed human being with serious character issues. And perhaps they also recognize that the Democratic Party has moved so far to the left that you have an inherent danger of a crackdown on religious freedom if a Democrat is elected. I mean, we're not 4 months removed from Beto O'Rourke saying in a Democratic debate that he would shut down every nonprofit religious center in America if they didn't agree with him politically. So is it a big deal? that Christianity Today said what they've been saying for years? No, it isn't. It's just demonstration that the media are fibbing about all of this. Now, Trump, for his part, is attacking the publication. He called it a far-left magazine. He said Christianity Today knows nothing about reading a perfect transcript of a routine phone call and would rather have a radical left non-believer who wants to take your religion and your guns than Donald Trump as president. And then he said that he would never read E.T. again, to which E.T. said, phone home. So, exciting stuff. Alrighty, coming up, we're going to jump into the mailbag. We have been remiss in past weeks, not doing enough mailbagging, so we will answer all of your questions coming up very shortly. Plus, a little bit later on in the show, we're going to get back into the Democratic debate last night. There was some Rock'em Sock'em Robots, all the...
Hear us streaming 24-7 at KCNR1460.com.
Hello, I'm Carlene Niver, and I would like to personally thank you for your support while we celebrate over 4 years of business at Carlene's Restaurant and Bar. I'm so proud and excited to see our growth with loyal and new guests alike. Those of you who know me know that I love great food, but more importantly, I love to enjoy myself wherever I go. And that's what my dining team and I strive for when you walk into Carlene's. As the weather transitions, don't forget to book our banquet room for any of your upcoming holiday needs. We also offer outside catering for any occasion. Open 7 days a week, 4 p.m. to 9 p.m., 10 p.m. Friday and Saturday. Happy hour from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m., located in downtown Reading on Center Street. A pinch of patience, a dash of kindness, and a spoonful of laughter make for the best dining experience. I look forward to celebrating over 4 years of business with you at Carlene's Restaurant and Bar.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Commons Senior Living. I want to share some thoughts from local 53-year teaching icon Phyllis Hutchinson about her experience living here at River Commons.
To come into a place with this many people and not know the people and be comfortable immediately, that says so much to me. Everybody's so happy. Everybody's talking to everybody. I felt apart the minute I moved in. The music that's brought in, what a wonderful thing to do for people, that we can go down and sit and relax and be entertained. I absolutely cannot imagine a thing that could be done around here that would improve it in any way.
Call today for a tour or lunch in a tour and see for yourself why our residents, just like Phyllis, love living here. River Commons Senior Living, 301 Hartnell, or check us out on the web, river-commons.com.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction with your security tip of the day. If it doesn't look right, it probably isn't. Many people hang around to investigate what may be a crime only to become a victim themselves because they confront a violent criminal. Leave the area and call your local law enforcement agency immediately. Another important part of your personal protection plan may be the use of a firearm. If that's your choice, give NFI a call at 999-1822 or find and register for one of our popular CCW courses at usgunpro.com. Remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
From the Pacific Justice Institute, this is The Legal Edge with Brad Dickus.
In a recent speech, Attorney General William Barr emphasized the religious foundation of our nation. He said religious liberty is the scaffolding of a free government. Well, Mr. Barr is concerned that militant secularists not only promote their own views, but seek to silence the religious voice.
Stay informed on religious freedoms. Receive our weekly email newsletter, The Legal Insider, at pji.org.
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearms specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard-to-find ammo. 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane.
Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
Getting into college doesn't happen magically. You have to take the right classes now, like Algebra 2, Biology, and a foreign language. Learn more at knowhowtogo.org.
Brought to you by the American Council on Education, Lumina Foundation for Education, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Well, it's that time of the week when we do some mailbagging. So let's mailbag it up. Okay, so jump right in. Matthew says, I'm just your average Joe working an 80-hour-per-week white-collar job, but still the state of the country has me worried. First of all, Matthew, I have to say, you're working a white-collar job. Obviously, you are a bad person, right? You are a potential billionaire because you're working a white-collar job 80 hours per week. You're not working hard enough. We need you to work harder and pay more taxes. He says, I'm just your average Joe working an 80-hour-per-week white-collar job, but I'm still worried, particularly the part where Democrats want to hold off on sending the impeachment to the Senate. How long can they hold off for? Until they have the Senate? This is what I was wondering a little bit earlier today. You know, there's no time limit on impeachment. I mean, typically, it's a ridiculous thing that Pelosi is doing by saying she's not going to send it over to the Senate until she gets procedures that she likes. And she can do it. There's nothing to stop her from doing it, but it's also patently kooky. I do not think that, realistically speaking, they can indefinitely hold this thing off. But I also wonder if there is some sort of constitutional challenge that Trump could actually bring if, let's say, they hold this thing up for 4 years. Let's say Trump is reelected. And in 2020, the Democrats do not take the Senate. But in 2022, they do. And they still have this impeachment resolution back from 2019 that they passed. And now it is 2023, or it's 4 years later, and they bring it up for a vote because they don't have enough votes in the House. Let's say they lose the House, but they maintain the Senate. Right? None of this is completely implausible. Could they bring it up for a vote? I have no idea. I think the answer is probably yes. But would there be a constitutional challenge? Like, you can't hold over bills for like 83 years and then hope to vote on them in the Senate the same way, particularly in impeachment. It's dicey. That's why all of this is very odd. Larry says, what is the morality behind having an animal put down? Is it similar to the assisted suicide argument, or does it differ because of fewer treatment options, in addition to the fact that animals don't possess the capacity to reason? Well, there's a difference between human life and animal life. I don't believe that animal life is sacred. It's the reason why I will eat animals. It's the reason why you will eat animals, presumably. Animal life is a form of life, so is vegetable life. But I don't believe that animal life is the same as a human being. I wouldn't kill a human being and eat them. I would do that to a cow. Okay, that is an inherent difference. Now, if you see no difference, then it is a puzzling question, right? If you believe that all animal life is just as sacred as human life and you oppose euthanasia, then why not also, it crosses these weird lines because the same people who tend to believe that animal life and human life are identical in terms of their value are the same people who will also suggest that euthanasia and putting down your dog is a good thing to stop suffering. There's a certain secular bent to the entire argument that lacks logical consistency and coherence, but yeah, I don't have a problem with putting an animal down if the animal is suffering because, again, an animal not only does not have the capacity to reason, it does not have a God-given right to life in the same way that a human being does. Austin says, if you did not go to law school, what would have been your second pathway in life? Well, law school wasn't actually my first pathway in life. So, quick story. My mom works in business affairs, but because she works in business affairs, for years she was working with lawyers who were getting paid more than she was. And this was annoying to her as well. It should have been. And it was irritating to her because she was just as capable of reading a contract after years of reading contracts. And so as I approached the end of college, she came to me and she said, you know, you really should go to law school. And I was like, I don't want to go to law school. And she said, no, you really should. Just take the LSAT. You'll do great. And then you can go to law school. I was like, I don't want to go to law school. So I started studying for the LSAT. Wasn't super happy with studying. And I said to my mom, I don't want to go to law school. What the hell am I going to do with a law degree? and said, trust me, it'll be useful. Took the LSAT, did well, went to law school, don't use my law degree. So in any case, is it good to have a law degree? Yeah. What was my second path in life? I'm performing my second path in life right now, which is politics. That was always my first, second, and third path in life. But honestly, like any red-blooded American male, if I could have any job that I were unqualified for, I'd be playing center field for the White Sox. And if I had a job that I'd be more qualified for, but still not wholly qualified for, would be GM of the White Sox, right? I'd be in sports, because sports is fantastic. Sports is fun. Although I will say that the chances that I would have gone into religious vocation would probably be better than nil. That would have been – it was a path that when I was in high school, my rabbis wanted me to pursue. They were very intent on me going into the rabbinate, and that was not a path that I was as interested in pursuing. There are lots of good people who do that. Sarah says, what is your opinion on the ACA provision that children can stay on their parents' health insurance until they are 26. I don't know what business it is of government to suggest that fully grown adults must be forced to stay on their parents' health insurance under an employer's auspices. Like, you're an adult. We are infantilizing adults. It used to be the average age of first marriage in the United States for women was like 20 years old, and for men it was 23, 24 years old. And now the average age of first marriage for men is 28, and the average age for first women is 26 or 27. We are not treating people as fully grown adults until they are hitting their 30s at this point. It's insanity. It's ridiculous. You're 26. Get out of your parents' house. Go get a job. Get on your own insurance. It's like, unless you are in some way disabled, the idea that you should be covered by your parents' insurance until you're 26 is just bizarre. Rebecca says, given that the outlook for 2020 is looking up, what wild card candidate do you think the Dems would have to pull out to win in 2020? Well, the obvious answer here is Michelle Obama. If the Democrats were to nominate Michelle Obama, it would be real trouble for the Republicans. The reason it would be real trouble for the Republicans is because she would not only overwhelmingly win the female vote, she would get out the black vote in Obama-like numbers, like her husband's numbers. The media coverage would be unendingly glowing. The contrast between her candidacy and Trump's candidacy would be pretty stark. Like, she's done a wonderful job of remaking her image. So her image originally was very, very militant, right? Her image when she was first on the public stage was, Barack Obama's going to heal your souls. I was never proud of this country until my husband was nominated and all the rest of it. And the American people didn't like it. Then she really softened her image. So she is politically aware, but she is no longer politically polarizing in the same way that she was. She doesn't have a Hillary Clinton vibe to her. She has somewhere between a Laura Bush vibe and sort of a Condi vibe. And that's a real good place to be politically. If Michelle Obama were to run, it would be serious trouble for the Republicans. Other Democrats who could run, I have a hard time seeing if the Democrats could nominate a general, which they would never do. If they nominated like James Mattis, it would be a problem for Trump. But honestly, I think most of these Democrats are generic off the shelf Democrats, and I don't think they have much to offer. Eric says, how do you think the Democrats would have handled the impeachment if they'd won back the Senate in 2018? Do you think they'd have gone the distance and removed Trump from office? Well, not unless they had won the Senate by huge numbers. I mean, it would have been very difficult for them to peel even 15 or 20 Republicans off. Let's say that they had won the Senate narrowly or 52 Democratic votes. They still need another 15 votes from the Republicans in order to get that thing over the finish line. The chances of that would have been extremely, extremely low. Tina says, geez, Ben, I couldn't get over all your laughter on Thursday's show. It was supposed to be solemn. I know. I have a hard time with the solemnity. It was sad, serious, solemn, supremely, splendidly, seriously, solemnly, splendid, serious and solemn and sober. Yeah, sorry. Nope. She said, haha, just kidding. Thanks for that, Joe. Your take kept me laughing. Anyway, my question is about Obama's recent remarks regarding how women should be the leaders and how much more wonderful the world would be. Does that, coupled with his remarks also that he would take action should Sanders be nominated, make you think he's prepping his wife for her entry into the Democratic race? I doubt it. I don't think Obama wants to be even involved in this race. I think Obama is enjoying his legacy moment. The media are rewriting his legacy in real time, and it's amusing to watch. It's also disturbing to watch. So according to the media, he never had a scandal. His biggest scandal was the tan suit. Bullcrap. But this is what the media have been pushing. According to the media, Barack Obama was a conciliator. He was somebody who reached across the aisle. Now, you can't name a single time he reached across the aisle. He didn't pass one major bipartisan bill in all his time as president. The only time there was a bipartisan bill is when the Republicans did sequestration and agreed to slash America's military. It was a terrible deal. So that is not true. They've recapitulated Obama's presidency so much that there was an article, I believe it was in the Washington Post recently, where they said that Obama was basically a Republican. It is, the rewriting of history that happens in real time is astonishing. And in the media, because history is written by the winners, and because the winners in the media are all Democrats, the history is being written by the Democrats. So I think Obama is enjoying his glorified post-presidency, even though his entire policy legacy has basically been wiped away, including large swaths of the ACA. Do I think he wants back in? No, I don't. I think he wants to stay out. I think he's enjoying sitting atop the world of politics and gazing down on the peons. He'll get some more of your questions from the mailbag momentarily. First, I have a great deal for you. It's the holiday season. Until January 1st, you get 25% off our membership over at dailywire.com. All you have to do, head on over to dailywire.com, click on the subscribe button at the top of the page. Daily Wire insiders are the only people who can watch all 3 hours every day, no commercials, that is correct, zero commercials. A Daily Wire insider membership includes not only all 3 hours of this show commercial free, but you can ask me questions through the mailbag. You can watch live and recorded episodes of The Andrew Klavan Show, The Michael Knowles Show, The Matt Walsh Show, and much more. Plus, if you join Insider Plus or All Access Tier, you'll get the exclusive Leftist Tears Tumblr. So you can drink those Leftist Tears, coffee, tea, whatever it is you're into, hot or cold, and you can look fantastic doing it. Are you tired of just listening to this magnificent voice? Are you ready to see this beautiful, beautiful face? Head on over to dailywire.com. Click on the subscribe button at the top of the page. This is the only way to get all 3 hours of this show on demand commercial free. Makes a great Christmas present, great New Year's gift, great Hanukkah gift. I would get it for myself. I mean, let's be real. I can't get enough of me, and neither can you. Go over to dailywire.com and subscribe. Click on that subscribe button at the top of the page and get yourself a great gift or get somebody else a great gift. Kendra says, do you think this impeachment will go down in Democratic folklore with them heroically standing up to Bad Orange Man? Or do you think they'll try to bury it and never talk about it again like George Lucas and the Star Wars Christmas special? No, it'll go down in lore. Democrats have yet to meet a situation bad enough that it didn't go down in their lore. They rioted at the 68 Democratic Convention, and this goes down in Democratic lore as heroism. They undermine the Vietnam War to the extent that South Vietnam ends up not existing and is taken over by communist terrorists, and everybody's like, oh, well, that was a great move, wasn't it? There's never been an aspect of Democratic history bad enough for them not to attempt to burnish it. So, no, this will go down as Donald Trump was an outlier, an evil, bad, orange man who resembled an orange and was also bad. And we stood up to him using the power of our beliefs.
Yeah.
Hey, Dylan says, longtime listener, recent subscriber. I have a question regarding the constitutionality of property taxes. I live in New Jersey. With the new tax cuts imposing a $10,000 limit in property tax deductions, if I pay more than 10 grand a year in property taxes, which I do, how am I not being double taxed on the amount exceeding this limit? I've already paid federal taxes and state taxes on the money I'm using to pay property taxes. Is this not double taxation? For that matter, how is sales tax not a form of double taxation? Well, double taxation is not barred by the Constitution. So you can be taxed at the state level, and then you can be taxed at the federal level. They are separate spheres of influence. So it's not as though, listen, I wish. I live in California, man. We got like a top, our top tax bracket is like 12% on top of the top federal tax bracket. Do I wish that you couldn't tax that money twice? I absolutely do. In fact, President Trump's tax bill, which was designed to basically, when it comes to blue states, make blue state voters aware of the fact that their own tax rates hurt them. Right? That hurt me pretty badly. I was still for the tax cuts because in principle, I think he's right. I think in principle, states should be forced to weigh the impact on its own citizens of taxing its people. And you shouldn't give a tax discount federally to California just because you're paying a high state tax rate in California. With that said, is it unconstitutional? No, it's not. Patrick says, my very young children are starting to notice other kids in town don't go to church the way they do. They're wondering why they go and others don't. What do you think is the best way to help them understand the importance of our family going to church while being honest and acknowledging that other families don't? Well, I think that you can say, listen, our family believes deeply in God and in the Bible. There are other people who don't. We think that they're wrong, and the reason that we think that they're wrong is because we believe that the Bible is given by God, or in some cases the inspired word of God, depending on what you believe. And we believe that these values are very important, and it gives you a mission in life. It gives you a value system in life. A lot of the people who are not going to church are living by that same value system. They're just not going to church, so they don't even know why they're keeping the values that they're holding. But you know why you're keeping the values that you're holding. That's not a rip on them. Maybe they have other ways of thinking, and that's fine. We live in a pluralistic society. But you can be a good advocate for your faith because we go to church. Also, you can meet people who have the same value system that you do. And that, again, is not a rip on people who don't go to church. But you can become a better advocate for your position by going to church. This is if your kids are old enough to understand. And the other thing that you can say is, you know, it's kind of tragic that a lot of the social institutions that we shared before, that the people aren't going to church. It'd be better if people did go to church. It'd be better if people could go to church and we can have our discussions and our arguments there, places we can get together. Wouldn't it be nice if more people went to church? Instead of playing it as a glass half-empty kind of thing, it's a glass half-full kind of thing. It's an opportunity to minister to people. And I think that's how most religious people feel anyway. Alrighty, coming up, we need to get into a wide variety of impeachment-related issues, including the Conway show continues. Just more and more Conwaying. We'll get to that in just a second. You're listening to The Ben Shapiro Show.
If you are behind on your bills, then this message is for you. How would you like to have a large portion of your credit card debt or medical bills forgiven? National Credit Card Relief would like to give you free information on a proven debt forgiveness program. It's not bankruptcy. It's not...
KCNR heard at 96.5 FM online and AM 1460. Good evening. This is Sue McClain from the Sue McClain Morning Show. I have the news hour from 6 to 7, Monday through Friday. And taking a look at your weather forecast for today. Now, tonight, rather, it is very cold and getting very foggy. So if you are planning on traveling, some of the roads have traffic that is slowing down quite a bit. So if you are heading south on Interstate 5 or northbound Interstate 5, just be aware. In downtown Reading, it is pretty clear. But as you travel south, it's getting thicker and thicker. So we do have quite a bit of fog, once again, for all you travelers. We want you to play it safe. We do have quite a few hazards reported on the roadways. A traffic hazard at 44 and Forevermore Drive this evening. Also, we have an animal on Bowman Road in Keeper Way slowing down traffic. Also, near Red Bluff, we've got a traffic collision. This is at I-5 North and Hooker Creek Road at the off-ramp. Another traffic collision reported. No injuries at Pasquinta Road and Rancho Tehama Road. So, once again, lots of folks are heading home for the holidays, and we want you to play it safe. And it looks like, once again, tonight, cloudy and definitely low-lying fog in the valley. If you don't have to travel, you may want to postpone it one more day. Tomorrow, a chance of showers throughout the day and a high of 55 and a low of 41. For Sunday, more rain, a high of 50, and then a low dropping down around 37 for Sunday night. Now, Monday, though, mostly sunny, a great day to travel, and a high of 54 degrees. So just be careful if you're traveling this evening. This is just a quick update on the roads this evening. We do have quite a few incidents that were reported. If you are north of Reading, just beware they do have traffic slowing down near Weed and snowplows out and about as well. Also, we do have travel not recommended for high-profile vehicles from Weed to Irica this evening due to a high wind advisory. Thanks for listening to KCNR 96.5 FM online and AM 1460. Now back to our regularly scheduled program.
3376949.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Joan London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. It's a free service, and we've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad. There's a place for answers, A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-391-1755. That's 1-800-391-1755.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, George and Kellyanne Conway, they continue to go at each other. George is going after Trump, and of course, Kellyanne is a defender of the president. Well, the latest in this ridiculous saga, according to The Week, which is on top of this thing, as though it is Us Weekly rather than The Week, they report President Trump spent a good deal of Thursday angrily tweeting about being impeached by the House, and in a move that appears to have him especially enraged, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's decision to sit on the articles of impeachment for a bit before sending them to the Senate. Trump is apparently mad as hell and demanding his day in court, said Senator Lindsey Graham. So, what do you call a person who holds the most powerful office in the world stewing over his inability to influence a co-equal branch of government that just accused him of high crimes and misdemeanors? George Conway has an idea, and here's George Conway's foolish tweet. Impotus, impeached president of the United States. Donald Trump is accusing Speaker Pelosi of political malpractice. I don't think so. Impotus. Trump is a nickname aficionado, but he probably won't appreciate impotus, says The Week, especially coming from a conservative critic who happens to be married to one of his senior advisors. Impotence has two interlinked meanings, the inability to take effective action or powerless, and a quasi-medical condition that requires drugs like Cialis and Viagra. Let's assume Conway is referring to the former, laughs Peter Weber over at The Week. And meanwhile, the New York Times, I mean, you talk about just an amazing, amazing piece of coverage. The New York Times has a piece today over the murder of Tessa Majors. Tessa Majors was an 18-year-old student at Barnard College. She was found stabbed and dying just outside Morningside Park in Manhattan. And it turns out that the suspects in this murder are very young, like as in under 15, and that they were caught on tape, and that they are, and that they're Hispanic or black. That is the reporting of the New York Times. And so what is the New York Times' take? That this is just like the Central Park Five. And so in this case, you actually have the people on tape. Shouldn't the story here be what kind of violence is occurring in the city of New York where a Barnard student who is 18 years old is murdered for the great crime of not giving up her purse? I mean, shouldn't that be the story? But no, the story is apparently about police malfeasance, even in a case where there's no evidence of police malfeasance. So we're going to dredge up a case that is now 30 years old to suggest that perhaps injustice is being done in a case where there is no evidence of injustice whatsoever. I mean, this is serious stuff from the New York Times. Really, really solid journalism from the New York Times here. By the way, even in the Central Park 5 case, the prosecutors in that case still maintain that the people who were let out of prison may not have participated in the penetrative rape of the Central Park jogger, but were present certainly at the actual event and had corroborated key details of the event before any of those details were made known to the public. So that case is still very much under dispute, not in terms of the actual rape itself or the murder itself, but in terms of accessory after the fact or presence at the scene of the crime. In any case, here's the New York Times' coverage in which the victim becomes completely anonymous, and the only thing that matters is the suspects. The suspicion being, of course, that the suspects have been mistreated by the cops on the basis of no actual evidence. The New York Times reports, Ashley Sutherland and Jim Dwyer, hours after an 18-year-old student at Barnard College was found stabbed and dying just outside Morningside Park in Manhattan, the police commissioner and two top chiefs, gathered with detectives near the steep flights of stone steps where she'd been attacked. It was already clear that the killing of the student Tessa Majors in her first semester of college and new to New York City was a heinous, high-profile crime that would demand the full resources of the police department. And it was just as plain to the police officials at the scene that the inquiry would be handled in the shadow of an investigation from a different time, the Central Park Five case, also known as the Central Park Jogger case from April 1989. Both concerned a young white woman attacked in a park and even younger teenage suspects who are black and Latino. The discussion was, we have to be careful not to rush to judgment because it's absolutely going to be compared to the Central Park Five, said a senior police official briefed on the investigation. The legacy of the Central Park case, in which five teenagers were wrongly convicted of rape and attempted murder, while the real attacker rampaged for months, has loomed over the inquiry into the murder of Miss Majors from the moment she was found on December 11th, according to investigators, public officials, and legal experts. On the night of the killing, police officials took the unusual step of calling in prosecutors almost immediately to minimize any chance that investigators would repeat missteps made in the Central Park 5 case. Now, as we'll see, the New York Times questions the NYPD anyway. In addition, all the questioning of the 13-year-old suspect was recorded on video, the police said, a practice not required or followed in the Central Park case. By the way, worth noting, the media did not cover the race of the attacker in this case for weeks, right? It was December 11th. It is now December 20th. It is only now that it's starting to emerge the race of the suspect in the case. If the races were reversed, do you think that would have lasted 30 seconds before it reported at the head of every newspaper? If a young black woman had been murdered by 13-year-old white boys, how do you think that would have gone? But the actual story from the New York Times, this is about the Central Park Five, a case, again, from 3 decades ago. Whereas in 1989, says the New York Times, prominent public officials spoke in outraged terms about what had been portrayed as a gang rape by teenagers, this time politicians quickly invoked the Central Park investigation as a cautionary tale of what can go wrong when passions overtake evidence. It was later proven that one man, Matthias Reyes, had raped the Central Park victim, the second woman he had beaten and raped in the park that week. The wrongly convicted teenager served 7 to 14 years in prison before the truth emerged. Okay, so we are now in like paragraph 20 and we still haven't talked about this case. So what exactly happened here? The killing of Miss Majors has shocked the neighborhood and the Columbia University community. where generations of students have come and gone since the violent decades of New York from the 1970s.
Hi, this is Linda Bott, and let me tell you about our North State Now show on Thursday nights at 6 p.m. right here on KCNR. The first Thursday of the month will be yours truly, covering arts and entertainment and all kinds of fun stuff. The second Thursday will be Michelle Slade, highlighting and interviewing North State heroes. The third Thursday is James Masada and Rhonda Alvey, bringing you all things with Enjoy the Magazine and Enjoy the Store. And the fourth Thursday from Shasta Regional Medical Center is Dr. Orna Gill covering all things women's health. The title sponsor for North State Now is the Reading Civic Auditorium. Also brought to you by the Black Bear Diner, Shasta Regional Medical Center, and Carlene's Restaurant and Bar, located at 1100 Center Street. That's North State Now, right here on KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. 6 p.m. North State Now.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Gordon Griffin. The United States is closely watching North Korea for signs of a possible missile launch or a nuclear test in the coming days.
The North Koreans warned of a possible Christmas gift in early December, saying the Trump administration was running out of time to salvage nuclear negotiations. Pyongyang said it was up to the U.S. to choose what Christmas gift it gets from the North. A significant launch or test would mean the end of North Korea's self-imposed moratorium and raise tensions in the region. On Friday morning, President Trump tweeted that he discussed North Korea in a phone call with China's president. Greg Clugston, The White House.
The Democratic National Committee has issued even more stringent debate qualification restrictions. Here's George Bonzani.
The DNC's sixth debate featured only seven of the party's 10 active candidates, not counting Michael Bloomberg. As for next month's debate, qualifiers will need to meet a higher 5-7% level in polls and unique donor levels above 225,000, above 1,000 in at least 20 states. Given DNC Chair Perez's promise to give all a fair shot at the limelight, a sharp exchange between candidates Warren and Buttigieg Thursday night revealed a divide, whether the party prefers a champion of solely small-dollar anti-corporate funding or someone who also accepts traditional large-money funding. George Bonzani reporting.
A Ukrainian security researcher says that a database with the names, phone numbers, and unique user IDs of more than 267 million Facebook users was exposed on the open Internet for at least 10 days this month. Facebook is investigating. Health officials say that they believe the vast majority of cases in the U.S. vaping illness outbreak have been tied to a thickening agent added to illicit vaping liquids. That news Friday comes as authorities say they have shut down 44 websites. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance.
There's no one-size-fits-all solution in today's complex financial landscape. What if the markets crash tomorrow? It's important to be able to take control of your investments before they take a toll on your life. Come to our live training and find out how Vantage Point has spent the last 30 years perfecting an artificial intelligence process you can use today to minimize risk and make more money. This live online training is free and seating is limited, so don't miss out. Whether you're a novice or experienced investor, you'll want the power of AI. So text DEMO to 411-411 to secure your spot today. Text DEMO to 411-411. During this free online training, we'll identify, live, a number of stocks ready to take off so you can prepare yourself to profit. It's time for you to take control of your financial future with Vantage Point. Text DEMO to 411-411 right now.
Go to VantagePointSoftware.com for terms, conditions, and privacy policy.
France has fined Google $166 million for abusing ad dominance.
France's competition authority says the tech mogul mistreated buyers of ads based on keywords. The methods used by the Google Ads platform being opaque and difficult to understand, it says, with the company applying them in an unequal and arbitrary way. It wants the rules for Google Ads clarified and also its procedures for freezing accounts to avoid what it refers to as brutal and unjustified suspensions. The $166 million figure is the latest in a string of European fines against Google, which faces very little competition for search engine business across the continent. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
Twitter has identified and removed nearly 6,000 accounts that it says were part of a coordinated effort by Saudi government agencies to advance the country's geopolitical interests. Separately, Facebook has removed hundreds of Facebook accounts linked to inauthentic behavior. News and analysis at townhall.com. Ford is recalling more than 600,000 mid-sized sedans in the U.S. to fix a problem with the brakes that can increase stopping distance and possibly cause a crash.
The recall covers certain 2006 through 2010 Ford Fusion, Mercury Milan, and Lincoln MKZ cars. Ford says a valve inside the hydraulic brake control unit can stick open, resulting in extended brake pedal travel. The company says there have been 15 reports of crashes related to the problem. Two people were hurt.
That's correspondent Jeremy House. The cars were built at a plant in Hermosillo, Mexico, from February 22, 2006 to July 15, 2009. Dealers will inspect the control unit for signs of a stuck valve and replace it if necessary. They'll also flush the system and replace the brake fluid and reservoir cap. Owners will be notified starting the week of January 13. More on these stories at townhall.com.
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard to find ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
Hey, hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, the Democrats had their big debate last night. And I will say it was a more interesting debate than their past debates. Their past debates have had 1 million candidates. All of them were basically sharing a group hug. And that's not really how the debate went last night. So the first half of the debate was the group hug. It was the Democrats trying to stake out their various pitches. And while there were seven candidates on stage, and one of them was my boy Andrew Yang, who had a good moment and a bad moment, the real debate was between the five main candidates, and it is down to five. It is Joe Biden, Bernie Sanders, Pete Buttigieg, Elizabeth Warren, Amy Klobuchar. It is those five. And your quick grades, just to leave this thing off. Amy Klobuchar gets an A. Joe Biden gets an A minus. He actually had a pretty good debate last night. Bernie Sanders also gets an A minus. Pete Buttigieg gets a C. Elizabeth Warren gets an F. Very, very bad night for Elizabeth Warren. Very bad night for Elizabeth Warren. Now, the Democrats all start off on the same page, but about halfway through the debate, as I say, they start throwing rocks at each other. And that's where things get fun. So we're going to go through in detail this debate, which, again, was very good for Trump because most of the debate was about how radical Democratic ideas are and how willing they are to throw away the economic gains under President Trump, which, of course, is Trump's leading pitch. The fact is that 3/4 of Americans think the economy is good right now. Most Americans think that the economy is going to remain good into next year, nearly 70% of Americans. So Democrats don't have tons to work with other than people don't like Trump personally. Well, the problem is, don't like Trump personally, but the economy is good, Trump probably wins. And Democrats kind of know this. And so they have to make an alternative case for why they ought to be president. And so this thing starts off with the Democrats being asked about impeachment. We're going to hear from the various Democrats about impeachment. Joe Biden, he makes his case for president based on his sort of take on impeachment. He says, back to normalcy. We need to restore honor to the Oval Office, right? This is Joe Biden's argument that really is about Trump personally. You get rid of Trump, you put me in, and we're going to have honor back in the Oval Office. Back to normalcy with Joe Biden is his pitch.
You know, we need to restore the integrity of the presidency, of the office of the presidency. And it's about time we get that underway. My job, and I think the job of all of us up here, is to, in fact, well, that's not true. Some are going to be actually voting in the Senate. But my job is to just go out and make the case why he doesn't deserve to be president of the United States for another 4 years.
And so basically, I'm here. I'm a stump. vote for me. I'm an inanimate object. Here I am. Do you feel comfortable yet? Bernie Sanders' case is that Donald Trump is selling out all the working people of the United States because... Here's Bernie Sanders doing the Bernie Sanders thing. We all know his thing by now, right? The moving hands, the wild hair, the crazy uncle who drank one too many beers screaming at you in the backyard about the old days when he used to rally with the Wobblies. Here he is.
I believe that I will personally be doing this in the coming weeks and months, is making the case that we have a president who has sold out the working families of this country, who wants to cut Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid after he promised he would not do that, and who has documentedly lied thousands of times since he is president.
Sold out the working families of the country, says Bernie Sanders, who wants to overthrow the capitalist system that has ensured that 100 million people are working in the country. Hundreds of millions of people are working in the country. Well done, Bernie Sanders. Elizabeth Warren makes her pitch. Her pitch is that she's an anti-corruption crusader. Now, as we will see, she had a bad night, and Elizabeth Warren was setting herself up for a fall. Now, the good news is that she coordinated wardrobes with Amy Klobuchar. I mean, they were wearing basically the same thing. And I know this is where it's sexist to point out what they're wearing. Yeah, except that the fashion analysts will talk about what Nancy Pelosi wore yesterday and whether her Darth Vader suit was all about somberness and soberness and seriousness and sadness. So I'm allowed to say that they both wore red. Okay, they both wore red. That's it. Here's Elizabeth Warren saying the reason you should vote for her is because she is going to fight corruption.
You know, this president has made corruption originally his argument that he would drain the swamp. And yet he came to Washington, broke that promise, and has done everything he can for the wealthy and the well-connected, from tax breaks to ambassadorships.
He's so corrupt, says Elizabeth Warren, who, as we'll see, she's a hypocrite and a liar. And Pete Buttigieg tries to sail over the top of this. So it's fun to watch the beginning of this debate because you see where they start and where they finish. Problem for Pete Buttigieg, he flew a little too close to the sun, man, a little too close to the sun, and those wings just melted right off of him. Those South Bend, Indiana wings, they were not built for national air transportation. Here is Pete Buttigieg talking about how he's trying to channel Barack Obama's hopey changey thing. That he's getting the left-wing media sites have called him like the gay Obama, and this is sort of his attempt.
Here's the good news. It's up to us. No matter what happens in the Senate, it is up to us in 2020. This is our chance to refuse to be taken in by the helplessness, to refuse and reject the cynicism.
No. And as we'll see, no. So Andrew Yang is the only person who makes a decent point. So my boy Andrew Yang had a couple of good moments here. He had one bad moment. We'll get to it a little bit later. Here was his best moment. He was asked about impeachment. He's like, why are we talking about Trump? Like, do you think Americans care about whether Trump gets impeached? Like, some real talk from Andrew Yang, my boy.
The more we act like Donald Trump is the cause of all of our problems, the more Americans lose trust that we can actually see what's going on in our communities and solve those problems. What we have to do is we have to stop being obsessed over impeachment, which unfortunately strikes many Americans like a ball game where you know what the score is going to be, and start actually digging in and solving the problems that got Donald Trump elected in the first place.
That's exactly right. I mean, he's the only one on stage who's making that pitch. Okay, so that is the opening pitch for everybody. Yang, who is not really a contender for the top slot, he's the only person who says anything of real interest. All the other candidates are like, yeah, Trump should go because bleh. Okay, and then we get to the economy. And here's where things start to go wrong for the Democrats, because it turns out most Americans like their wallets right now. They like the way the economy is going. It's humming along. We have records on the economy that have not appeared since like 1969. Joe Biden tries to convince Americans that they don't actually like the economy. Let slow old Joe tell you that even though you like the fact that you have a job and you got a raise this year, you like that fact. Well, let slow old Joe tell you that In actuality, you don't like the economy. Here he is.
Well, I don't think they really do like the economy. Go back and talk to the old neighbors in the middle-class neighborhood you grew up in. The middle class is getting killed. The middle class is getting crushed. And the working class has no way up as a consequence of that. And the idea that we're growing, we're not growing. The wealthy, very wealthy, are growing. Ordinary people are not growing. They are not happy with where they are. And that's why we must change this presidency now.
So is that really going to work? Is that really going to work, that the economy isn't working? And that's what all of them say, right? Then you get Buttigieg saying the economy isn't working for everyone. And then I will say that this is my favorite Buttigieg line. It's when he speaks absolute stupid platitudes, but he says them with gravity. Gravity, right? Here is Pete Buttigieg explaining that we have a big problem in our economy. Let him explain the big problem in our economy to you. Go, Pete Buttigieg.
The biggest problem in our economy is simple. People are not getting paid enough. That is not the result of some mysterious cosmic force. It's the result of bad policy, and we've got to change it by raising wages and empowering workers.
And the way that we're going to do that is by, and that's the part where just like everybody, no one has an answer, because that's not the way economics works. You know, we've got a big problem in our economy. You don't have enough money. The only person who actually has an answer to this is Andrew Yang. He's like, I'll throw money at you. You see this wad of cash? Okay, but Buttigieg is like, the biggest problem with our economy is that you don't have enough money. And everybody's like, oh, wow. The wisdom of Pete Buttigieg. Unbelievable, unbelievable wisdom. Bernie Sanders does his routine here, too, on the economy. He suggests that in the richest, most powerful nation on planet Earth, that we actually have worse child poverty rates than nearly any major country on Earth. He's made this claim before. Has he heard of the Earth? It's a planet. He doesn't reside on it very often. Every so often he visits and then he sort of leaves again. Here's Bernie Sanders explaining that America is poor and horrible, and yet he has not donated his lake house.
Tonight, while three people own more wealth than the bottom half of America, 500,000 Americans, including 30,000 veterans, are sleeping out on the streets. Today in America, we have the highest rate of childhood poverty of almost any major country on Earth. More income and wealth inequality since the 1920s.
And let me tell you about that. I was there for the 1920s. I experienced it firsthand. I was 70 then. I'm 170 now. And I'm still here shouting at you. You think I'm shouting? Why do you think I'm shouting? It's just I can't hear myself. My hearing's been gone for at least 20,000 years.
Bernie Sanders. That guy is one of your front runners. He's one of your front runners. Not a great field, Democrats. Okay, in just a second, we'll get to the best answer on taxes from anyone. It came from Elizabeth Warren. It is amusing. We'll get to that momentarily. First, let's talk about the fact that you're not protecting your data. I know you've been waiting. I don't know what you're waiting for, though, because here's the reality. You're probably spending a lot of time shopping online. Like, now is hacker's paradise. This is like hacker's paradise time of year, because the chances that they hack into your system while you're using a credit card are actually fairly good. And that, if that's ever happened to you, it is terrible. It is awful. It's happened to me before. It is no fun. You need a VPN. Which VPN should you use? ExpressVPN. It's been rated like the number one VPN by TechRadar, CNET, and all the other outlets that rate this sort of stuff. I use it. You put it on in your computer. It runs in the background of your computer, and now you are protected. Runs on your phone as well. Very easy to install. Very user-friendly. Here's the question. Why haven't you gotten ExpressVPN yet? I mean, I've pitched this to you 1,000 times. Just go do it. Visit my special link right now at expressvpn.com/Ben. Get an extra 3 months of ExpressVPN for free. Protect your internet today with the VPN I trust to keep my data safe. Head on over to expressvpn.com/Ben to get started. That's expressvpn.com/Ben. Go check them out right now. And again, keep your data safe. Big tech is looking for it. Government's looking for it. Hackers are looking for it. It's your data. Protect it. ExpressVPN.com/Ben. Okay, best answer on taxes comes from Elizabeth Warren. Speaking of platitudinous, delusional nonsense, so you have Pete Buttigieg saying the problem with the economy is that you're not getting paid enough. Wow, thanks, Pete. Thanks. And now you have Elizabeth Warren explaining that the laws of economics have ceased to apply because ever since she held that, because there's enough wampum to go around, says Chief Warren. Here's Judy Woodruff asking her a very simple question on taxes, and Elizabeth Warren giving a simple but also idiotic answer.
How do you answer top economists who say taxes of this magnitude would stifle growth and investment? Oh, they're just wrong.
They're just wrong. Oh, well, now that she says it, until she put it like that, I thought maybe that the theory that marginal tax rate increases causes people to generate less wealth. Until that, you know, which is pretty solid economic theory, until she said that they were wrong, I was like, oh, man, she's probably going to crush the economy with these burdens and taxes. But now that she said they're wrong, I guess that we're done here. Here's where Pete Buttigieg steps in and really smacks around Elizabeth Warren. Bad night for Warren. Here's Buttigieg being a reasonable person.
Yes, we must deliver big ideas. And yes,
taxes on wealthy individuals and on corporations are going to have to go up. We can also be smart about the promises we're making. Make sure they're promises that we can keep without the kind of taxation that economists tell us could hurt the economy. On issue after issue, we've got to break out of the Washington mindset that measures the bigness of an idea by how many trillions of dollars it adds to the budget, or the boldness of an idea by how many fellow Americans it can antagonize.
That line that he says right there is actually from a Republican debate. I don't know how it sneaked in there. Like, it just kind of was like an earworm that went into Buttigieg's brain. Where he says we've got to break out of the Washington mindset that measures the bigness of an idea by how many trillions of dollars it adds to the budget. I mean, yeah. And then Buttigieg immediately proposes adding trillions of dollars to the budget. So there was that. Okay, in just a second, we're going to get to more from the Democratic debates. Joe Biden gave himself a problem last night in the general election. So he had a pretty good debate, but there was one moment that will seriously come back to haunt him in campaign ads. Plus, we have not even gotten to the Rock'em Sock'em Robots, the three-way battle royale between Buttigieg, Warren, and Amy Klobuchar. It's good times. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
If you have hard water, the limescale not only leaves white spots, it clogs pipes and breaks down appliances, costing you hundreds of dollars in energy and wear. Eliminate limescale and other water issues like brown staining, bad odors, and lead with HydroCare water products available from Wave Home Solutions. Wave's affordable systems don't use salts or chemicals. You'll love the way your water tastes, smells, and looks. Satisfaction guaranteed. For more information, go to WaveBestWater.com. That's WaveBestWater.com.
If you are behind on your bills, then this message is for you. How would you like to have a large portion of your credit card debt or medical bills forgiven? National Credit Card Relief would like to give you free information on a proven debt forgiveness program. It's not bankruptcy. It's not consolidation. This special program actually wipes clean the portion of your debt that is forgiven. Call for your free forgiveness information now.
800-291-6670. That's 800-291-6670. Don't wait. Call 800-291-6670. Not available in North Dakota.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Joan London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. They've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad.
I was so glad that I called A Place for Mom. My advisor really listened and was truly my partner in finding senior care for my dad. She went out of her way to get to know him as a person and was always there whenever I had a question.
The senior living advisors at A Place for Mom partner with thousands of families every month, listening and offering local knowledge and advice to help find the best senior living communities across the country. And it's a free service. Here's the number.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-469-0286.
There's a place for answers, A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-469-0286. That's 1-800-469-0286.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So we are going through the Democratic debate last night. Had some interesting moments and some bad moments for each of the candidates. Joe Biden overall had a very good debate. He had a very good moment near the very end of the debate where he was talking about helping out kids who stutter. And that was his best moment. Right? Do we have that moment? It's this moment where he's talking about how he, who stuttered as a child, helps out kids who have also problems with stuttering. Here he was.
My wife and I have a call list of somewhere between 20 and 100 people that we call at least every week or every month to tell them I'm here. I give them my private phone number. They keep in touch with me. The little kid who says, I can't talk. What do I do? I have scores of these young women and men who I keep in contact with.
Okay, so that was a good moment for Biden specifically because he was then attacked by Sarah Huckabee Sanders idiotically on Twitter over it. And then he responded to her. She tweeted out, I have absolutely no idea what Biden is talking about. And then he immediately tweeted back and just stomped her. I've worked my whole life to overcome a stutter. It's my great honor to mentor kids who have experienced the same. It's called empathy. Look it up. Now, she probably didn't. She acknowledges she had no idea what he was talking about. But mistake. Right. And he gets to take advantage of it. That was his best moment of the debate. He had a couple that were actually quite good. It was a good debate for Joe Biden. He had a good debate. The worst moment for Joe Biden is one that will come back to bite him on the campaign trail. And that is this moment. Tim Alberta, one of the questioners, he asks how many jobs Biden is willing to give up in order to fight climate change. And Biden is like, all of them. All of them.
As president, would you be willing to sacrifice some of that growth, even knowing potentially that it could displace thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of blue-collar workers in the interest of transitioning to that greener economy?
The answer is yes. The answer is yes, because the opportunity for those workers to transition to high-paying jobs, as Tom said, is real. We're the only country in the world that's ever taken great, great crises and turned them into enormous opportunities.
Yeah, sure. So the answer is yes is going to be that clip. You willing to sacrifice hundreds of thousands of jobs? The answer is yes. Good luck seeing how that plays in blue-collar areas, Ohio, Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania. Good luck. Elizabeth Warren, by the way, again, wildly dishonest. So she, about climate change, claims that we have to stop carbon emissions, but also she's not going to build any more new nuclear power plants, even though nuclear power plants cut carbon emissions.
So I see it right now as we've got to get the carbon. We've got to stop putting more carbon into the air. We've got to get the carbon out of the air and out of the water. And that means that we need to keep some of our nuclear in place. I will not build more nuclear.
No more nuclear. But she's very serious. Very serious. She's terrible. And last night, as we'll see in a few minutes, she got shown up as terrible. Another good Biden moment. Again, he had some good moments and bad moments. His good moments in a presidential campaign, people forget the good moments. It's the bad moments that actually end up counting. Here was a good moment for Joe Biden, though. He was asked about whether he is naive to believe that he can work across the aisle. Biden, again, is making the case that things will go back to normal if he's elected, which is the best case for Democrats. Right, because they can't make the economic case. They can't really make the foreign policy case. So instead, they're going to make the, well, at least you won't have to worry about the crazy coming out of the White House today. So here's Joe Biden trying to make that case and actually doing it fairly well.
I refuse to accept the notion, as some on this stage do, that we can never, never get to a place where we have cooperation again. If that's the case, we're dead as a country. We need to be able to reach consensus. And if anyone has reason to be angry with the Republicans and not want to cooperate, it's me, the way they've attacked me, my son, and my family. I have no love. But the fact is, we have to be able to get things done. And when we can't convince them, we go out and beat them like we did in the 2018 election in red states and in purple states.
And now some might note that the reason the Republicans have been attacking Hunter is because Hunter was taking advantage of his father's name overseas and basically acting as a bag man, picking up large quantities of cash. I mean, then there's that. But the pitch that he's making there is a smart pitch. And this is why Biden is the durable frontrunner right now. I would imagine that in coming days, you're going to see that Biden is strengthened here. Then in coming days, what you're going to see is Biden getting stronger, not getting weaker as this race goes on. And I would be remiss if I didn't pay note to the fact that my boy Andrew Yang had a bad moment. He was asked about race, and my boy Andrew Yang fell directly into the leftist trap of doing the intersectional routine. I mean, Andrew knows, I am sure, that Asians are not considered part of the intersectional community since they are too economically successful, which is why it's perfectly fine for Harvard to exclude them from slots. Here's Andrew Yang anyway, pretending that he is deeply saddened that Cory Booker and Kamala Harris aren't on the stage.
It's both an honor and disappointment to be the lone candidate of color on the stage tonight. I miss Kamala. I miss Cory, though I think Cory will be back.
No, he won't. And also, you really think that Andrew Yang is sitting around going, oh, God, I just, without my friends here, I can't continue. Also, I think too much of Andrew Yang to believe that he really cares about the color of the skin of the people on the stage. I think too much of Andrew Yang. I think he's too much of a human being to actually care very much about whether the people next to him are black, white, or green. I would say that about any person I think is a nice person. So, that was a bad moment for Andrew Yang. Alrighty, coming up, we're going to be getting to the actual big moments of the debate. There are a couple big moments in this debate. There was a moment with Joe Biden where he looked a bit confused. It wasn't a great moment for him, but it wasn't a really important moment. The important moments of this debate were between Klobuchar and Warren and Buttigieg. Warren is going after Buttigieg because she believes that if she knocks Buttigieg down, that she's going to somehow pick up some of his votes. Because most of his support has come from Joe Biden and a little bit from Warren. She's wrong, okay? Her support is split with Bernie Sanders. It ain't split with Buttigieg. Klobuchar is right. If she doesn't knock down Buttigieg, she picks up no support. Right now, Klobuchar is running at about 7% in Iowa. Buttigieg has climbed in Iowa. Klobuchar actually has a shot in Iowa if she starts to get some momentum. And so she went hard after Buttigieg last night, and it really scored. It was a big moment for Amy Klobuchar, and it was a bad moment for Pete Buttigieg. Also, even though Warren came off second best against Buttigieg, she did tag him with a nickname that is going to trail him around the rest of this campaign. We'll tell you what that is coming up. You're listening to The Ben Shapiro Show.
Learn more about our shows and hosts. Check us out online at KCNR1460.com. KCNR 1460.
The Redding Rancheria Senior Nutrition Program provides socialization, transportation, and free meals to eligible Native American elders and their spouses. Our program celebrates Native elders through cultural activities, entertainment, exercise, and education. Elders can dine together here and will deliver meals to those who are unable to attend. The Redding Rancheria Senior Nutrition Program is free. Discover the services available to you or your elders at reddingrancheria.com.
Tobacco and Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, has been an integral part of our community for over 40 years. They have supported the veterans, law enforcement, fire and disaster survivors throughout this whole time. Tobacco and Brew has expanded their walk-in humidor and brought to the North State new lines of fine cigars, pipes, and tobacco products. Additionally, they are offering a pipe bar to try out new tobacco for taste and aroma. Tobacco and Brew is your one-stop shop for any tobacco product and accessories to include lighters, humidors, pouches, and more. Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
Hi, this is Linda Bott, and let me tell you about our North State Now show on Thursday nights at 6 p.m. right here on KCNR. The first Thursday of the month will be yours truly, covering arts and entertainment and all kinds of fun stuff. The second Thursday will be Michelle Slade, highlighting and interviewing North State heroes. The third Thursday is James Masada and Rhonda Alvey, bringing you all things with Enjoy the Magazine and Enjoy the Store. And the fourth Thursday from Shasta Regional Medical Center is Dr. Orna Gill covering all things women's health. The title sponsor for North State Now is the Redding Civic Auditorium. Also brought to you by the Black Bear Diner, Shasta Regional Medical Center, and Carlene's Restaurant and Bar located at 1100 Center Street. That's North State Now right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. 6 p.m. North State Now.
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard-to-find ammo. 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Redding. Join the revolution.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled. then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. She had minor damage to her rear bumper. I wrote her an estimate. Later, I received the call. The lady responsible for the damage wanted to pay for the repairs out of pocket. Her insurance agent told her a claim would raise her rates for years. With our experience in the claim process, I explained to her most insurance companies would forgive a claim if the cost was below a minimum amount. I suggested she contact her insurance agent and have them review her policy. She called back very excited. It appeared her policy did extend forgiveness. They would pay for the repairs, and she wouldn't be charged with a claim or have to pay a deductible. The accident would not cost her a thing. She was very pleased. Good thing the vehicle owner came to the right place for repairs. We all pay a lot for insurance. Choosing Coachmaster will ensure you get the most for your money. Let this experience work for you. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
While serving in Iraq, Sergeant Jason Nielsen suffered a paralyzing injury. Paralyzed Veterans of America's service officers are trained to help injured veterans get all the benefits they've earned. To help paralyzed veterans, visit PVA.org.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. We're going through that Democratic debate last night. It did have some moments, and those moments might make a difference, because remember, they're now down to five real candidates on that stage, and we're only about a month and a half away from actual votes being tallied, which that's not a long time. So one of the key exchanges came last night when Elizabeth Warren basically committed a murder-suicide against Pete Buttigieg. It didn't go great. So she attacks Pete Buttigieg and suggests that he is taking rich people money. In doing so, she uses a phrase that is going to attach to Buttigieg because there are too many progressives on Twitter to let this thing go. And she suggests that Buttigieg is doing meetings in wine caves. And I didn't know what the hell a wine cave was. And I thought that it was just, I just thought it was some sort of like where you keep wine. I thought that it was like a basement or something. But in any case, I guess it's called a wine cave. Who the hell knew? Who knew? In any case, Warren goes after Buttigieg. The problem is that Buttigieg is prepped for this because Warren has been telegraphing this punch for a month. Right? She's been one of the things you don't do in boxing, telegraph your punches. Warren's been telegraphing this thing for a month. So Buttigieg was ready. And he just flattened her. So she does make the god bleed, but he flattens her in response. So it's not a great scene for either of them.
We can't have people who can put down $5,000 for a check drown out the voices of everyone else.
The way we're going to win is to bring everybody to our side in this fight. If that means that you're a grad student digging deep to go online to PeteForAmerica.com and chip in $10, that's great. And if you can drop $1,000 without blinking, that's great too. We need everybody's help in this fight.
So the mayor just recently had a fundraiser that was held in a wine cave full of crystals and served $900 a bottle wine. Think about who comes to that. He had promised that every fundraiser he would do would be open door, but this one was closed door. We made the decision many years ago that rich people in smoke-filled rooms would not pick the next president of the United States. Billionaires in wine caves should not pick the next president of the United States.
Mr. Mayor, your response. You know, according to Forbes magazine, I am literally the only person on this stage who's not a millionaire or a billionaire. So if this is important, this is the problem with issuing purity tests you cannot yourself pass. If I pledged never to be in the company of a progressive Democratic donor, I couldn't be up here. Senator, your net worth is 100 times mine.
I do not sell access to my time. I don't do call time with millionaires and billionaires.
Sorry, as of when, Senator?
I don't meet behind closed doors with big dollar donors.
Senator, your presidential campaign right now, as we speak, is funded in part by money you transferred having raised it at those exact same big-ticket fundraisers you now denounce. Did it corrupt you, Senator? Of course not. So to denounce the same
Buttigieg, that's the line that matters, right? Buttigieg smacks her on that, right? I mean, he really hits her. He says, listen, you've been talking about these big-ticket Democratic donations and how bad they are. You took a bunch of money you raised for the Senate from those people, and you shuffled it into your presidential campaign. That is what you did. And now you're claiming some sort of high moral dudgeon over me doing the same thing. Now, so that's going to hurt Warren because she is a hypocrite. Like, everything she says is untrue. With that said, the Wine Cave Buttigieg thing is going to play because Buttigieg is that kind of person, right? He did work at McKinsey. He did go to Harvard. He is widely perceived as a kind of guy who likes to hang out in wine caves. And by the way, if you believe that Pete Buttigieg ain't going to be extraordinarily wealthy by the time he's 50, you're out of your mind. He, of course, will be. He'll be worth a lot of money. So she dings him, and he really hits her. Meanwhile, Amy Klobuchar is sitting off in the wings, and she's like, I am going to clock you a good one, man. She's just waiting. She tag teams with Elizabeth Warren. She jumps in, and she says, I didn't come here to listen to this argument. I didn't. Here she is jumping in just to get in a knock.
I did not come here to listen to this argument. I came here to make a case for progress, and I have never even been to a wine cave.
Yeah, I've never been to a wine cave. That's Klobuchar 2020. I have never been to a wine cave. Bernie Sanders then pops his head in, and he says, you know what? I'm gonna knock Buttigieg in next week, too, because why the hell not? Right? I'm here, and I've got nothing to do. I've never been to a wine cave. I used to live in a cave before the advent of housing, but it was very nice. It was cozy. One day, after my economic plans are implemented, we will all live in caves, but there will be no wine there because alcohol is not allowed on the commune. Here is Bernie. Go.
My good friend Joe, and he is a good friend, he's received contributions from 44 billionaires. Pete, on the other hand, is trailing, Pete. He only got 39 billionaires contributing. So, Pete, we look forward to you. I know you're an energetic guy and a competitive guy to see if you can take on Joe on that issue.
Okay, awkward smile there from Pete Buttigieg as Bernie Sanders pile drives him. Okay, but that was not the real telling hit on Buttigieg. The telling hit is that, what the hell is Pete Buttigieg even doing on this stage, right? I mean, the telling hit, like, he's talented. He's a talented guy. He not only has never won a statewide race, the only race he has ever won is for mayor of South Bend, Indiana, which is a poll of 9 people. He won a grand total of 8,000 votes in a election once. And he's like, look at me, man. I'm ready for the big boys. I'm ready for the big time. Amy Klobuchar, who is a 3-term senator from Minnesota, I believe, she jumps in and she says, okay, Mayor Pete, you've been going on and on and on about how experience is bad. But you know it's a good experience, like being able to win. And you know what you've never done? Win anything. And I'm sorry, being mayor of like the 10th biggest city in Indiana is not an actual case for being president of the United States. Here's Amy Klobuchar taking out the binder and just whapping young Pete across the head with it.
When we were in the last debate, Mayor, you basically mocked the 100 years of experience on the stage. I just think you should respect our experience when you look at how you evaluate someone who can get things done.
You actually did denigrate my experience, Senator, and it was before the break, and I was going to let it go because we got bigger fish to fry here. But you implied
I don't
that
think
my
we have bigger fish to fry than picking a president of the United States. We should have someone heading up this ticket that has actually won and been able to show that they can gather the support that you talk about of moderate Republicans and independents, as well as the fired up Democratic base. And not just done it once, I have done it 3 times.
I got to respond to that. Senator, I know that if you just go by vote totals, maybe what goes on in my city seems small to you. If you want to talk about the capacity to win, try putting together a coalition to bring you back to office with 80% of the vote as a gay dude in Mike Pence's Indiana.
Again, I would, Mayor, if you had won in Indiana, that would be one thing. You tried, and you lost by 20 points.
But let's talk about how we
win. I mean, brutal. Brutal. Because Buttigieg goes back to the well, and he goes to the intersectional well. Whenever you are embarrassed in the Democratic Party, you go to the intersectional well. He starts with Kamala Harris and Cory Booker. As a black woman, well, as a black man, And now you get people who judge, well, as a gay man in Mike Pence's Indiana, Handmaid's Tale. And this is Pete Buttigieg's favorite little riff. That makes no sense, because Mike Pence doesn't give two craps about Pete Buttigieg. He does not care about Pete Buttigieg. He was always very nice to Pete Buttigieg. Mike Pence is Indiana. What, we're going to act like this is like 13th century Saudi Arabia or something? Like, what are you talking about? Or for that day, modern day Saudi Arabia? Like, what are you saying? There are no gay people in Indiana? Is that the implication? That under Mike Pence, gay people like Mayor Pete were taken out and beaten, put in the stocks, the soles of their feet raked with hot coals. Now, what are you talking about? It's nonsense. First of all, that's nonsense on his face. But then Amy Klobuchar is like, you know what? No. You know what? Just no. You know, you're going to talk about you won 80% of the vote out of like 10,000 votes. And let me explain something about elections, buddy. You ran statewide for state treasurer. You've never talked about this, Pete Buttigieg. You ran statewide for state treasurer in 2011. And you know what you did? You got your ass kicked. It was kicked just to you got murdered by Richard Murdoch, 63-35 or something. You got beaten. It wasn't 20 points. You got beat by 25 points. Fact check, false. He was beat by 25. And Buttigieg has no comeback to that, because the fact is that while he's a very talented young politician, he has not won statewide. He has never held high office. He's a mayor of a small town in Indiana who's very fluent and very verbally cogent, and good for him. But Klobuchar's attack is a telling one. We'll get to a little bit more from the debate in just one second. First, let's talk about the earbuds you're using to listen to this show. Are you using the old-fashioned earbuds that have the wires and then you wrap them all up, put them in your pocket, and now they're all messed up and you can't untie them and it's terrible? Or are you using the brand new, spanking new earbuds, but you lost them? And now you need replacement earbuds that are great, but aren't going to cost you a fortune like the ones you just lost it. Instead, what you should be doing is using Raycons. Raycon just released their best model yet, the E25. They have 6 hours of playtime, seamless Bluetooth pairing, more bass, a more compact design that gives you a nice noise-isolating fit. Raycons wireless earbuds are incredibly comfortable. They are perfect for on-the-go listening and for taking phone calls. I love my Raycon wireless earbuds. I bring them around with me everywhere, and you can too. Get 15% off your order at buyraycon.com/Ben. That is BuyRayCon.com/Ben for 15% off Raycon wireless earbuds. That's buyraycon.com/Ben. Go check them out right now. BuyRayCon.com/Ben. Don't spend a fortune. It makes a great Christmas gift, by the way, getting those wireless earbuds for somebody. They will appreciate it, and the new models are just terrific. BuyRayCon.com/Ben. 15% off Raycon wireless earbuds. Okay, so there are a few other moments in the debate that were worthy of note. The pandering on transgender issues is just astonishing. The best here was Elizabeth Warren. So Elizabeth Warren is such a fake human being. She's just fake. And that is so obvious. Listen to Elizabeth Warren pander on the transgender issue. It's incredible what she's about to say.
Here's a promise I make. I will go to the Rose Garden once every year to read the names of transgender women, of people of color, who have been killed in the past year. I will make sure that we read their names so that as a nation, we are forced to address the particular vulnerability on homelessness. I will change the rules now that put people in prison based on their birth sex identification rather than their current identification. I will do everything I can to make sure that we are in America that leaves no one behind.
Okay, you talk about pandering. I'm going to go out in the Rose Garden and read the names of a specific subgroup of people murdered in the United States as though only those murders matter in the United States. And that is pandering and pandering hard. Okay, in just a second, we are going to get to an update on the insane controversy surrounding J.K. Rowling, the author of the Harry Potter series. We'll get to that in just a second. First, quick reminder, from now until the end of the year, you can get 25% off all of your Daily Wire subscriptions until January 1st. It makes a great Christmas gift, great Hanukkah gift. If you have friends or family who are into the Daily Wire, into the show, go check us out over at dailywire.com. Not only do you get all 3 hours of my show, commercial free, by the way, you'll also be able to hear from prominent conservatives like Andrew Klavan and Matt Walsh. You also get Michael Knowles, if that's a thing that you want. The entire Daily Wire team has its finger on the pulse of the conservative movement. We'll keep you educated and informed on the most newsworthy stories of the day. So don't wait any longer. Head on over to dailywire.com, become an insider for just $10 a month, or upgrade to an all-access membership, which includes our prized Leftist Tears Tumblr. So good, it was once imitated by Elizabeth Warren. Didn't go great for her. That's dailywire.com. Become an insider. Join tens of thousands of fans in supporting the largest conservative podcast in the United States. Again, that's dailywire.com. Become an insider for just $10 a month or upgrade to an all-access membership. And again, Right now, there are deals up until January 1st, 25% off. Go check us out over at dailywire.com. Ready? Coming up, J.K. Rowling under serious fire from the left. Why? Because she said that men are men and women are women. I know. Controversial stuff. Only one solution. Make Dobby transgender. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Joan London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. It's a free service, and we've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad. There's a place for answers. A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-391-1755. That's 1-800-391-1755.
Are your tax problems keeping you up at night? Hi, Tax Owl here from the Coast One Tax Group. If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state in back taxes, take 10 minutes and call Coast One Tax Group. It could save you 93% or more. Coast One Tax Group helps people all across America save big amounts of money. David from California saved $48,000 on back taxes. James and Lisa from Dallas saved $102,000. Call Coast One Tax Group now at 888-337-6949. A 10-minute call could save 93% or more. So who are you going to call? Coast One Tax Group, that's who. See how much you can save. The consultation is always free. What are you who waiting for? Relieve your tax stress today. Call Coast One Tax Group at 888-337-6949. That's 888-337-6949.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
If you have hard water, the limescale not only leaves white spots, it clogs pipes and breaks down appliances, costing you hundreds of dollars in energy and wear. Eliminate limescale and other water issues like brown staining, bad odors, and lead with HydroCare water products available from Wave Home Solutions. Wave's affordable systems don't use salts or chemicals. You'll love the way your water tastes, smells, and looks. Satisfaction guaranteed. For more information, go to WaveBestWater.com. That's WaveBestWater.com.
If you are behind on your bills, then this message is for you. How would you like to have a large portion of your credit card debt or medical bills forgiven? National Credit Card Relief would like to give you free information on a proven debt forgiveness program. It's not bankruptcy. It's not consolidation. This special program actually wipes clean the portion of your debt that is forgiven. Call for your free forgiveness information now.
800-291-6670. That's 800-291-6670. Don't wait. Call 800-291-6670. Not available in North Dakota.
Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. Okay, so this is an insane story. This is a story about a woman named Maya Forstatter. It made a lot of news yesterday because J.K. Rowling got involved. We'll get to that in a second. So Maya Forstatter is a researcher on taxes. She's a tax expert. She works for something called the Center for Global Development, or rather she did. It's a think tank based in London and Washington that campaigns against poverty, according to the UK Independent. She was accused of using offensive and exclusionary language on Twitter. What did she say that was so offensive and exclusionary? This is a direct quote. Men cannot change into women. Offensive and exclusionary. To point out, men cannot magically change into women. Now, I know. You and I think about this and we're like, right. Okay, so? But in Britain, this is basically illegal. As she said, men cannot change into women. She was fired. And then she sued. She said that she was protected under the 2010 Equality Act because there are protected philosophical beliefs under the 2010 Equality Act. You can't be fired for politics, for example. So what did the judge decide? So the judge at the Central London Employment Tribunal, which is, whenever you use tribunal here, it just sounds like something out of the Spanish Inquisition, and it turns out it is, except the leftist, secularist Spanish Inquisition, Judge James Taylor, not the singer, decided that Forstatter's view was, quote, incompatible with human dignity and fundamental rights of others. So men cannot magically become women, is incompatible with human dignity and the fundamental rights of others. See, it seems to me that a fundamental right of another person would be to speak freely. Also, compatibility with human dignity seems to be like not firing people for saying basic biological truths. Like, but no, according to this judge, it is incompatible with human dignity and the fundamental rights of others to say a biological fact. According to the judge, he says the tax expert was not entitled to ignore the legal rights of transgender people and, quote, the enormous pain that can be caused by misgendering a person. So you're not entitled to say a biological fact if it hurts someone's feelings in Britain. If you do that, you can be fired from your job in Britain. And by the way, this will move into the realm of hate speech, and pretty soon you'll be able to be prosecuted in Britain for, quote-unquote, misgendering people. Already in New York City, by the way, the New York City Human Rights Commission ruled like 4 years ago that if a business regularly, quote-unquote, misgenders people, it can be fined like $250,000 for each incident, which is total insanity. This judge's ruling is fully insane. You ready for this? He concluded, quote, if a person has transitioned from male to female and has a gender recognition certificate, that person is legally a woman. That is not something Ms. Forstatter is entitled to ignore. Ms. Forstatter's position is that even if a trans woman has a GRC, she cannot honestly describe herself as a woman. That belief is not worthy of respect in a democratic society. That belief is not worthy of respect in a democratic society. I mean, the utter unbelievable gall to say that it is not worthy of respect in a democratic society to say that a document from the government does not magically change you from one sex into the other. This is utter, absolute, bat-bleep lunacy. It's utter lunacy. Totally crazy. I mean, that is... Are you kidding me? So according to the government, this is what happens when government gets too big and too audacious and believes it can do magic. So according to this judge, the government issues a certificate. It says you are now a woman. This means that everyone is now legally obligated to call you a woman because the government said so. Do you have any idea how nuts that is? I mean, you talk about legal positivism. This is legal positivism taken to its extreme. Legal positivism is the philosophy that rights and realities don't exist absent the government stating them. This is nuts. The judge says, even paying due regard to the qualified right to freedom of expression, people cannot expect to be protected. If their core belief involves violating others' dignity and creating an intimidating, hostile, degrading, humiliating, or offensive environment for them, due regard to the qualified freedom of expression? You haven't paid any regard to the qualified right to freedom of expression. It doesn't matter to you. You cannot expect to be protected if your core belief, not even the expression, the belief, involves violating other people's dignity. By the way, we disagree with each other all the time. In public life, we do it all the time. And in private life, we disagree with each other all the time. Is every disagreement about the nature of the world somehow a violation of others' dignity? Because if so, the government is violating this lady's dignity by saying she can be fired for believing a biological fact. Okay, so why does this become such a major issue? One, it's a major issue on its own. Two, J.K. Rowling weighs in. Now, J.K. Rowling is the author of the Harry Potter series. She is way on the left. I mean, so much on the left that every so often she retcons a character. Right? Suddenly Dumbledore just becomes gay for no reason. It's a children's book. But, you know, Dumbledore, he was always into the lads. That was always Dumbledore's thing. Like 10 years after the books are written. Okay, sure. Why not? Okay. Well, now she tweeted out in favor of this, right? She said, dress however you please. Call yourself whatever you like. Sleep with any consenting adult. We'll have you. Okay, so far, we are in pure leftist progressive territory. Live your best life in peace and security. But force women out of their jobs for stating that sex is real? Hashtag, I stand with Maya. Hashtag, this is not a drill. This led to the world collapsing in on J.K. Rowling. She'll comfort herself with her 500 million books sold. Vox.com, headlined, I kid you not, J.K. Rowling's latest tweet seems like transphobic BS. Her fans are heartbroken. J.K. Rowling just ruined Harry Potter. Merry Christmas. Did I miss the part where Harry Potter was like a transgender tract? Also, if a muggle declares himself a wizard, are they a wizard or are they still a muggle? I'm confused. It was not just the idiots at Vox and their explanatory journalism. It was also the Washington Post. J.K. Rowling, this is from Internet Culture Analysis by Sonia Rao and Abby Olheiser. They put two of their finest on this over at the Washington Post. J.K. Rowling tried to make her work more inclusive. Then she tweeted support for an anti-trans researcher. Oh, there goes the inclusivity. There it goes. That's terrible and evil and wrong. Absolute stupidity. Absolute stupidity. Elena Darcy, a Harry Potter who for 5 years wrote for the website MuggleNet and co-produced a podcast on Rowling's Fantastic Beasts series, told the Post via email, "Until this moment, I was in a sort of denial. I'm so heartbroken. This is who she is choosing to be." The Harry Potter Alliance, a fan-led nonprofit, distanced itself from Rowling's tweet. "We know that trans women are women. Trans men are men. Non-binary people are non-binary. Also, men are women. Women are men. And non-binary people have no gender. That affirming and respecting people..."
Hi, this is Linda Bott, and let me tell you about our North State Now show on Thursday nights at 6 p.m. right here on KCNR. The first Thursday of the month will be yours truly, covering arts and entertainment and all kinds of fun stuff. The second Thursday will be Michelle Slade, highlighting and interviewing North State heroes. The third Thursday is James Masada and Rhonda Alvey, bringing you all things with Enjoy the Magazine and Enjoy the Store. And the fourth Thursday from Shasta Regional Medical Center is Dr. Orna Gill, covering all things women's health. The title sponsor for North State Now is the Reading Civic Auditorium, also brought to you by the Black Bear Diner, Shasta Regional Medical Center, and Carlene's Restaurant and Bar, located at 1100 Center Street. That's North State Now, right here on KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. 6 p.m. North State Now.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Gordon Griffin. President Donald Trump has agreed to give the State of the Union address to a joint session of Congress on February 4th.
The president accepted the formal invitation from House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, who sent him a letter. The invitation was extended just 2 days after the House of Representatives adopted two articles of impeachment against Donald Trump. A Senate impeachment trial is expected to begin in January, but no date has been set.
That's White House correspondent Greg Clugston. Two tracking polls show support trending in President Trump's favor.
Friday's Rasmussen Daily Presidential Tracking Poll had the president's strongly approved to disapprove even at 39%, total approval at 50% compared to 48%, a level the president last attained in April when the Mueller report was released. On a same-day comparison, President Trump still outpaces former President Obama 50% to 47%. As for impeachment and removal, the composite 538.com compilation shows just over 46% do not support this, trending upward by almost 3% since December 1st, with only 47.6% supporting impeachment and removal, down almost 2% over the last 3 weeks. George Bonzani reporting.
Health officials believe that they know the cause of a vast majority of U.S. vaping illness cases. We get more details from correspondent John Scott.
They believe the outbreak has been tied to vitamin E acetate. That's a thickening agent added to illicit THC vaping liquids. Officials say vaping illnesses can get worse, even deadly, after patients leave the hospital and doctors should check on patients within 2 days of sending them home. The outbreak of vaping-related lung injuries continues, but new cases are on the decline. More than 2,500 cases have been reported across the nation. There have been 54 deaths. John Scott reporting.
More on these stories at townhall.com.
Sebastian Gorka here. Maybe you've been hearing about Relief Factor, the 100% drug-free supplement that helps a person's body deal with inflammation and pain. You've heard all the wonderful testimonials. Well, I have my own testimonial. For many years, my lower back pain was becoming a serious problem. The short story is, I finally gave it a try, and now I'm out of pain too. So if you're in pain, you can order the 3-week quick start for just $19.95. Go to relieffactor.com.
Hey, this is Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans. Quicken Loans is celebrating our best quarter ever. And now we're celebrating some of the lowest refinancing rates ever. Rates have dropped so much that many Americans can reduce their rate. You may be able to save money on your monthly mortgage payment right now. The rate today on our 30-year fixed rate mortgage is 3.99%, APR 4.18%. Call us at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com to learn more.
Rates subject to change. Pay 1.375% fee to receive this discounted rate. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
Prince Philip, the husband of the British Queen, is in a London hospital as a precautionary measure
according to Buckingham Palace.
The palace has said in a statement the 98-year-old Philip was admitted to London's King Edward VII Hospital for observation and treatment of a pre-existing condition. He had been at the royal family's Sandringham estate in eastern England, where the Queen and her family usually spend Christmas. The palace added, Philip didn't travel by ambulance and it wasn't an emergency admission. He's expected to be under medical care just for a few days. Charles de Ledesma, London.
Law enforcement officials have dealt a blow to the violent MS-13 street gang on Long Island. Investigators resulted in charges against nearly 100 members of the gang and thwarted 7 murder plots. The takedown included a special grand jury indicting 45 gang members, 19 associates on counts of drug trafficking, weapons possession, and murder. News and analysis at townhall.com. A new poll finds most Americans feeling grateful this holiday season, but also a little stressed.
7 of 10 people surveyed for the Associated Press NORC Center for Public Affairs research poll said grateful describes them extremely well or very well over the holidays, while another 2 in 10 said it describes them moderately well. That's nearly 90%. They cite good health and being surrounded by loving family members as principal reasons. At the same time, though, many of those same people report a significant element of stress in the holidays. About 7 in 10 say it describes them extremely well, very well, or at least moderately well. And there's some sadness and loneliness mixed in, too, with about 40% reporting some level. I'm Ben Thomas.
A judge has ruled that former National Security Agency contractor Edward Snowden violated secrecy agreements with the U.S. government that allow it to claim proceeds from a memoir that he published, Permanent Record. More on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Gordon Griffin.
From the Pacific Justice Institute, this is The Legal Edge, defending your rights as a Christian, a parent, and a citizen. Here's Brad Dickus.
In a recent speech, Attorney General William Barr strongly underscored the religious foundations of America. He said the founders saw religious liberty as the scaffolding on which they hung a free government. Well, Mr. Barr reminds us that free government only works for religious people who know there is a transcendent moral order preceding state or man-made law. He is concerned that militant secularists not only promote their own view, but seek to silence the religious voice. Folks, Pacific Justice Institute shares this concern. Become a partner today to help PJI defend the religious voice. Visit PJI.org.
The Pacific Justice Institute provides legal representation to individuals without charge. Learn more at PacificJustice.org. That's PacificJustice.org.
Hello, Mike Opelka with you once again, sitting in for my friend Chris Plant on the Chris Plant Show, and it's Friday. It's Friday. Pat yourselves on the back. You made it through an insane week. You made it through a crazy week, only to be gifted with the weekend before Christmas. Hanukkah starts on Sunday, Christmas then just around the corner, and everybody's nuts. And yesterday, the stampede happened, the jailbreak happened, as Congress wrapped up business and they all stomped out of the Capitol and off to their Acela trains or their planes and they left town. So it's just us. And then there was the fabulous debate last night in California. And we have so much audio from that. I have pages of notes that I took during this. I've got Warren and her ridiculous statement, Biden and one of his ridiculous statements, Klobuchar. I think Amy Klobuchar, by the way, is just going to eventually say, I really don't think I can be president, but wouldn't I make just a great vice president? That seems to be what she's running for. And it doesn't matter because Trump's going to beat them all. And he does beat them all. If you look at some of the latest polling data, stomps on all of them. All of them, apparently, except Nancy Pelosi, claiming that she has better approval rating. And we'll get into that because the numbers seem to give her a liar, liar, pants on fire rating for that whopper. But there is so much to get to today. One of the liberals, the big liberals in the world, J.K. Rowling, is taking fire for actually being honest about gender. And I love it when the liberals go after themselves. I love it when they turn the knives on each other. We saw it at the debate last night, too, and you're going to see it. And why is the term wine cave trending on social media? Wine cave. Because we all have wine caves? No. It's because of something that happened last night. Mayor Pete was in the crosshairs. Like I said, we'll get to some of that. And Lindsey Graham standing up for the president. I've been trying to figure it out, too. We were told for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks by Nancy Pelosi that we must hurry up. We must. We're not rushing, but we're going through this. We have to impeach. We have to impeach him now because the security of our nation and the integrity of our democracy. Not a democracy. We are a republic. Democratic republic, not a democracy. That's mob rule, you dolt. But Pelosi told us for weeks that we had to hurry up and impeach. And now that they have impeached or they got the vote, she's refusing to move forward. What was the big hurry? The big hurry was to get this done so they could go home and smack the president in their home districts and say to their constituents, I told you we would impeach the bad man, that we would get him done. But I'm more worried about Nancy Pelosi and her health, her mental health. I do think that Botox is possibly a dangerous thing when it comes to the brain. I think Botox can leak into the brain. If you get enough Botox in your body, it's only common sense that it'll eventually work its way up to the brain. And if you know anything about Botox, it freezes wherever you inject it. So that's why when an actor or actress gets Botox injection, suddenly they can't emote. Their faces are frozen. And it wears off sooner or later. It takes a few months. But Pelosi, I believe, is a Botox user. Maybe a Botox addict. I don't know. I don't know her personally. But I found it amazing yesterday that she was telling the press that we're not going to take any more questions on impeachment. And she was asked over and over and over again about the impeachment and when are you going to turn in the articles. And she finally decided she had had enough and started treating the press like members of her caucus. But after all, aren't they kind of the same? They generally do as she tells them. The question was a fascinating one. You can kind of hear it here.
Run the risk, as some Republicans have said, of looking like you're playing games with impeachment if you hold on to these articles for too long.
Are you playing games? Because the Republicans are saying you are. If you hold on to these articles of impeachment too long. And now, I know so many in this audience are students of the English language, who are people who might even be called grammar Nazis by some of your peers. You are people who are so wise. And I would like you to diagram any one of the sentences in Nancy Pelosi's response to this statement. And this, again, is why I'm concerned about Nancy Pelosi. I'm concerned about her health. I'm concerned that she may not be quite right.
I said what I was going to say, Nancy. When we bring the bill, which is, just so you know, there's a bill made in order by the Rules Committee that we can call up at any time in order to send it over to the Senate and to have the provisions in there to pay for the impeachment.
Okay, that one was a tough one, right? That was difficult. You could probably find a sentence in there, and you could probably, there was some fractured grammar in there. But this is the part that got me concerned for Nancy Pelosi's health and well-being. This is the part that I thought, my God, there are medics in the House, aren't there? Yeah, they do have a clinic in the House. I believe they could perform a heart transplant in the House. Well, in Pelosi's case, you'd have to put a heart in before you could swap it out with anyone else. But just try and wrap your head around this one.
And then the next step,
yes,
whatever you want to call it, the trial.
Whatever you want to call it, the trial. You don't know what the next step is, and yet you're preventing the next step from happening. But wait, there's more of Nancy Pelosi's apparent brain farting yesterday in front of the media.
That is where you put the managers. I was not prepared to put the managers and that bill yet because we don't know the arena that we are in. Frankly, I don't care what the Republicans say.
That's the most honest thing she said. That last sentence right there, that's the most honest thing she said all week.
Frankly, I don't care what the Republicans say.
And that's the only sentence that makes any sense in there that you could diagram. But she's fed up. She's fed up with anyone telling her that she can't run the Senate, that she can't tell the Senate what to do. But wait, there's more.
Any other questions? Not on this subject. I've said this is it. I understand.
I've said this is it. No more questions. She had to repeat it, of course, because there were more questions.
Any other questions? Because I'm not going to answer any more questions on this. Clearly, do you understand? When we see what their process is, we will know who and how many we want to send over. Not until then. I'm not going to go there anymore.
I'm not going to go there anymore. And here's the scary part in all of this. The press actually bent to Nancy Pelosi's will. The press actually backed off and didn't ask any more questions. How dare you? How dare you? Well, then again, she is expected and has expected them to carry her water for years now. So Pelosi and that little incident yesterday really surprised me. It really surprised me. And I was trying to figure out, well, what really is behind this? What really is behind Nancy Pelosi's desire to not present the articles of impeachment to the Senate? And I think Lindsey Graham, what a great attorney he would be. Lindsey Graham delivered this analysis yesterday afternoon on the Fox News channel.
But I just left President Trump. He's mad as hell that they would do this to him and now deny him his day in court. The reason they're denying him his day in court is they know their case sucks.
The reason they're denying it because their case sucks. I think that's a legal term. I think that is a legitimate legal analysis by Lindsey Graham. And another reason that I do hope they have some sort of a court that is quickly handled and dismissed, even though the president wants it. But we learned yesterday that Pelosi and the Democrats are threatening to hold on to it forever. I have this vision of Nancy Pelosi taking the actual articles of impeachment because they're pretty thin. And she's got them wrapped up in sort of a combination suicide vest Spanx garment. Is that the right term? Garment. And she's wearing them as she flies back home to her district, wearing her combat boots in order to avoid stepping in any of the fecal matter on the streets or in order to stumble into one of the needles on the streets of San Francisco in her home state and city. It's crazy. There is so much madness out there today, and I have some other questions as well. Are you a Facebook user? I was going to invite you to follow me on Facebook, but there's a huge story about Facebook having a breach in security that gave out names and phone numbers of 200 plus million users. I'm not happy about it. I've noticed something about my Facebook account in the last 24 hours. I will share it with you. It's kind of disturbing. The Simpsons, we may have to change Homer Simpson's name from Homer Simpson to Nostra Dumbass because he seems to be prescient when it comes to predicting the future. The entire show seems to be able to predict what's going to happen. I'll give you some of the proof of that. I want to know if anyone's involved with this gathering in Virginia to possibly make a statement about the Second Amendment. If you are, if you're attending something today, we'd love to hear from you. 888-630-9625, 888-630-9625. And the sidebar question of the day. I know where I stand on this. I know where Michael Piercy stands on this. But a friend of mine and I have been going back and forth for about a day and a half now. Die Hard. Is it or isn't it a Christmas movie? I'm happy to take any votes on any side, and I will explain my stance eventually. It's Mike Opelka here, sitting in for my friend Chris Plant on The Chris Plant Show. Join the conversation. Let's have a Friday, shall we? 888-630-9625. 888-630-9625.
This is the Chris Plant Show.
Million people come down with the flu every year. It could be you and your family. The best way to tell if it's the cold or the flu is by taking your temperature, and no one does that better than Exergen. Visit Exergen.com to learn more.
Computer systems and cars are now the new normal. From electronically controlled transmissions to touchscreen displays to dozens of sensors. But all this advanced technology is expensive to fix if and when it breaks. That's why you need CarShield. CarShield has affordable protection plans that can save you thousands for a covered repair, including computers, GPS, electronics, and more. You get to choose your plan and your favorite mechanic or dealership to do the work, and CarShield takes care of the rest. They also offer 24/7 roadside assistance and a rental car while yours is being fixed for free. CarShield has helped over 1 million customers. So drive with confidence knowing you got coverage from America's number one auto protection provider. Get covered by CarShield today. Call 800-CAR-6000 and mention the code PLANT. Or visit CarShield.com and use the code PLANT to save 10%. That's CarShield.com. Code is PLANT. A deductible may apply.
It's not too late to get something great. Get to Kohl's and take an extra 15 or 20% off. Save on the gifts they want, like fine jewelry, the Xbox One S, toys and games, a new Fitbit, fine fragrance, and so much more. Plus, get Kohl's cash. Plus, stores are now open 24 hours through 6 p.m. Christmas Eve. You'll find new gifts at every turn this holiday at Kohl's. 15 and 20% offers valid December 10th through 24th with promo code Big Savings. Some exclusions apply. See store or Kohl's.com for details.
What's in store this holiday at your local Staples?
Mistle toner.
And ink nog. Huh?
I mean, come on, who doesn't think ink and toner during the holidays?
You don't. Okay. Well, Staples is aiming to fix that. Right now, you get 25% back in rewards when you spend $75 on ink or $200 on toner.
Now who's not thinking ink and toner this holiday?
Give your printer the gift of ink and receive 25% back in rewards.
Staples, there's a whole lot in store.
Ends 12/24/19. Restrictions apply. See store or staples.com/25inrewards for details.
This is a commercial announcement. Mike Reagan here. I think the impeachment of President Trump is really outrageous. Nancy Pelosi doesn't care what you think, but many in Congress do. I am asking conservatives to take Newsmax's poll asking if President Trump should be impeached. It's easy to vote in the Newsmax poll. Just text the word ROCK to 95577. That's ROCK to 95577 and vote. Support President Trump by texting the word ROCK to 95577. That's 95577.
The brutal cold and flu season is upon us, and the number one flu symptom is fever. So use a thermometer that's proven accurate by more than 80 clinical studies. The Exergen Thermometer. See our educational video at Exergen.com.
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard to find ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane.
Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
Michael Pelka is my name, sitting in for Chris Plant on the Chris Plant Show on this Friday before Christmas. And I'm really thrilled to be here. By the way, Fridays, I try to wear a red shirt every Friday. And I encourage you, if you can, in the Christmas season, it's a good time. You can get away with wearing red shirts when a lot of times people are like, whoa, red shirt, bright on Friday. It's to remember everyone deployed. R-E-D, remember everyone deployed. If you can do it and just think about it, I think it's a good thing for us to remember the men and women serving on a voluntary basis around the world on behalf of this country and protecting our freedoms. Friday, Red Shirt Friday, remember everyone deployed. Phones are open, going to be open all day. We'll take whatever you got. Well, challenge on anything, including whether or not Die Hard is actually a Christmas movie, whether or not you agree with my take on Pelosi, whether or not you support my analysis of what I saw last night during the debate. There were some really funny moments that were unintentionally funny. So we're going to have some fun with that. And again, I stand by my analysis of Amy Klobuchar, one of the seven on the stage, one of the seven who I don't think is actually believing she could run for the presidency, especially against Donald Trump. She's in that kind of Radar O'Reilly vice presidential assistant category in my head. And Klobuchar, to me, was given the second-class citizen treatment by Fox News, believe it or not. I know you're saying, Mike, what are you talking about? There was a moment after the debate where Klobuchar was in that spin room, and I think the question they asked her was really kind of demeaning. They didn't ask a policy question. They asked her basically, how ever did you stand up for 3 hours at a time? And I don't know if they're asking any of the male candidates that, but let me walk through this with you.
It's a long time to be standing on a stage. 3 hours.
Thank you for noticing.
And that's just, we're there sitting there. Is it tough? Is that a...
Yeah, so here's my little tip for when we finally have, like, more and more women up on those stages.
Hold on a second. Do you realize this? Can you imagine if somebody said to Bernie, You're an old guy. Can you really stand up there for 3 hours at a time? And you, Mr. Biden, we know you've had some health problems. Is it? No, they wouldn't dare ask that. And if I were Klobuchar, I would have said, did you ask any of the guys that question? Did you ask any of them? Because, you know, if they asked Bernie, how were you able to stand up there? How are you able to stand? And he would say, depends on the length of the debate. Actually, and Klobuchar doesn't turn it back on him. She becomes Hints from Heloise and starts talking about what she does to prepare for 3 hours of standing on her feet.
I wore flat shoes, you just cannot stand on high shoes for that long. Some people can, like maybe Nancy Pelosi, but not me. So I wear flat shoes. Sometimes I have extra ones out there I can change into. I have a little, some little food out there in case I like get hungry, but I never used it this time.
So she keeps food. We have provisions. This really is one of the dumbest answers I've ever heard. I really would have said, how dare you? How dare you? Yeah, we know she announced her campaign in the middle of a snowstorm and all that stuff. But this really does seem to be a how dare you moment. And yet she continues.
And then I just keep trying to focus on the task at hand. And the time just flies by when you're having fun and enjoying what you're doing.
So time flies when you're having fun. Everybody write that one down. Amy Klobuchar giving us a time flies when you're having fun. It's insane, people. And there's more. That's the least insane thing that I noticed last night. That's absolutely the least insane thing that I noticed last night. I'm going to squeeze in a quick call here. Dave is in Virginia. Dave, welcome to the Chris Plant Show, sir. You're a Virginian. Do you know anything about this reported gathering of Second Amendment supporters in the state today? Dave, are you with me?
Hello?
Dave, it's you. What's up? Oh, boy. Dave, we're going to sort this out because we're very near the end of this segment, and we're going to come back to you. So let's put Dave on hold, and we'll get back to Dave. I'm still trying to figure out. There was a weird link I got to an event that was being ballyhooed, a much ballyhooed event about Second Amendment supporters who are apparently reportedly gathering somewhere in Virginia in order to protest Northam's anticipated gun grab and the Democrats' anticipated gun grab. Dave wants to talk about Virginia and Virginia politics, and we'll see if we can get into it, because I do think Virginia is going to be a battleground on the Second Amendment and the Democrats' dreams to grab our guns. I don't want you taking mine, people. None of them. All right, Michael Pelka is my name, sitting in for Chris Plant. 888-630-9625 is the phone number. Phones are open. And is a Die Hard a Christmas movie? Let's go.
You're listening to the Chris Plant Show.
This is Ted Leidy with the Northern Firearms Instruction Personal Protection Tip of the Day. If you have the ability to park in a garage or carport, do it. Criminals identify dark streets and alleys to target unsuspecting victims who are distracted with loading or unloading packages or children. Another important part of your personal protection plan may be the use of a firearm. If that's the case, give us a call at NFI at 999-1822, or to find and register for one of our popular CCW or other firearm safety courses, visit us online at usgunpro.com. Remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. She had minor damage to her rear bumper. I wrote her an estimate. Later, I received a call. The lady responsible for the damage wanted to pay for the repairs out of pocket. Her insurance agent told her a claim would raise her rates for years. With our experience in the claim process, I explained to her most insurance companies would forgive a claim if the cost was below a minimum amount. I suggested she contact her insurance agent and have them review her policy. She called back very excited. It appeared her policy did extend forgiveness. They would pay for the repairs, and she wouldn't be charged with a claim or have to pay a deductible. The accident would not cost her a thing. She was very pleased. Good thing the vehicle owner came to the right place for repairs. We all pay a lot for insurance. Choosing Coachmaster will ensure you get the most for your money. Let this experience work for you. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
KCNR is proud to announce that we are now live at 96.5 FM, as well as online, and as always, heard on 1460 AM. Weekday mornings, wake up with the Sue McClain News Hour, followed by Free Fire Radio, your talk radio station at the epicenter of change in downtown Reading. 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. Noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. 3 to 6, the hard-hitting constitutional expert, Mark Levin. Monday through Thursdays at 6 p.m., local shows feature everything from the paranormal to pop culture to unsung heroes of our area. 7 to 9, Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. And finish your weekday with the Chris Plant Show, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. KCNR, now on 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and always online. More than ever, we're your locally owned, community-connected talk radio.
Hi, this is Linda Bott, and let me tell you about our North State Now show on Thursday nights at 6 p.m. right here on KCNR. The first Thursday of the month will be yours truly, covering arts and entertainment and all kinds of fun stuff. The second Thursday will be Michelle Slade, highlighting and interviewing North State heroes. The third Thursday is James Masada and Rhonda Alvey, bringing you all things with Enjoy the Magazine and Enjoy the Store. And the fourth Thursday from Shasta Regional Medical Center
is Dr. Orna Gill covering all things women's health. The title sponsor for North State Now is the Reading Civic Auditorium, also brought to you by the Black Bear Diner, Shasta Regional Medical Center, and Carlene's Restaurant and Bar, located at 1100 Center Street. That's North State Now, right here on KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. 6 p.m., North State Now.
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts, with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard to find ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004, but our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
Welcome back to the Chris Plant Show. Mike Opelka sitting in for my friend Chris Plant on this last Friday before the real holidays happen. Hope you're ready. I hope you don't have to go to the mall. And really, with all the delivery services, why would you? Everything shows up. Just do me a favor, if you can, tip the delivery people. Some of them are working their butts off out there. I barely see the Amazon truck in my neighborhood slow down when it throws the packages out the door. It's just crazy. But it's busy. We were talking about several different things, and I'm going to get to the debate and some of these massively entertaining clips I have from last night's debate. But I threw out a question about an announcement I got. Somebody said, hey, the gathering's on the 20th. We're going to have a Second Amendment gathering, massive gathering, and we're concerned the governor of Virginia is going to send the National Guard. And I think on line six, Jonathan in Winchester has me corrected here. So, Jonathan, welcome to the Chris Plant Show, sir. You think I've got the wrong month? Is that what's happening?
Hi, Mike. First time talking to you, man, and I'm honored. I think it might be confusing. I don't know what December 20th event you reference is about, but I know there is a lot of information out about the January 20th of next year, 1 month from today, the lobby day, and it's sponsored by the Virginia Citizens Defense League. It is not a protest. Please don't confuse that.
Okay.
We gather at the Capitol in Richmond. We visit with our representatives. We discuss our firearms rights under both the U.S. and the state constitution. I think that might be what some of the confusion is, only because today is the 20th.
Yeah.
But that's what I was referencing.
As we were in the break and I saw your call on the screen, I Googled lobbying day and returned the same information as you're sharing, Jonathan. And you're right. This is a time for citizens to actually get with their legislators and visit the Capitol and make a cogent argument for one of the most important amendments to our Constitution, the Second Amendment. So I appreciate you being there and clarifying it, Jonathan. Thank you, sir. Any thought on the Die Hard controversy, as the Australians would say? Is Die Hard a Christmas movie or not?
I don't know about that. But I'll give the shameless plug for VCDL.org. That's the Virginia Citizens Defense League. And, it's not a protest. It's just a gathering. It's a federal holiday. So for government workers like myself, you're off that day, so no better reason than to gather in Richmond.
Good, good. I appreciate that, Jonathan. Thank you, sir. Have a Merry Christmas. On the same topic, I want to stay on this topic. Let's go to line three with Jeff in Maryland. Jeff, you say you're in Maryland, but you've been involved in some of these sanctuary city meetings in Virginia?
Oh, yes. I'm the founder of a Maryland-based group called The Patriot Ticket. And we go to our adjoining states to demonstrate. And I appreciate very much you talking about the fact that we demonstrate on behalf of the Second Amendment. We never protest. The media loves to talk about us being protesters. We are never protesters about the Constitution. We only demonstrate. Now, I've been to a couple of meetings in Virginia. The other night, I was in Stafford County, down I-95, there near Fredericksburg, for an electric, absolutely electric gathering. Several thousand people showing up. Imagine that. Several thousand people showing up to the county seat in Stafford for an amazing Second Amendment sanctuary meeting. And then just the other night was all the way over on the Virginia Eastern Shore down in Accomack for another fabulous showing where so many, hundreds of folks show up to go to the Board of Supervisors to say, we demand that you stand with us for the Second Amendment.
Well, I'm glad you're doing that. And I know a lot of people listening around the country are saying, you know, this is a Virginia issue. It's not a Virginia issue. What we have seen over the past few years when Democrats have taken control of states, I don't need to remind you people what's happened in California, where now you have to have a background check to buy ammunition. And these kinds of roadblocks to you learning how to safely operate a firearm are just unacceptable to people like me. And
yeah,
this movement is
not Virginia's fight. This is a national movement, and it's happening in Virginia, and people are watching it all over the country. I'm a writer for an online a site that's covering these issues. It's called thetruthaboutguns.com. And I've been doing the write-ups covering these Second Amendment sanctuary meetings. And as I said, these are awesome gatherings of patriots that are doing this on behalf of all Americans. It's really important. And I'll give you an update. The next meeting, I believe, coming up will be Charles City County. They're in central Virginia next to Chesterfield County. If people want to go to that vcdl.org map, they will see what's called the Green Wave, which is the map just awash with green counties that have accepted, have green-lighted the Second Amendment sanctuary movement. And there's only these small pockets of liberal bastions left that aren't on board with this.
Well, it's a really concerning issue for me as a guy who believes that if you don't want to own a gun, you don't have to own a gun. The government's not forcing you to do it. We're not like some of those socialist nations where you have to have a gun and be ready to serve the nation. This is an optional thing, and if you choose to be a Second Amendment supporter, you can do so. And I happen to be someone who does, and I happen to be someone who's licensed in my state of Delaware, in Pennsylvania, and in 33 states around the nation. But I know that if I accidentally travel into New Jersey and were to be stopped, I could be locked up for over a decade just for the box of ammunition I have in the trunk of my car.
Yes, it has happened. And what happened in the District of Columbia, you're caught with one bullet. In D.C., you'll go to jail. It's amazing what we're having to fight back in this day and time with the infringers that want to bring these radical gun laws to us. To our doorsteps.
Well, I appreciate you giving us clarity and good information on this. There are too many people who want to paint people who support the Second Amendment as gun nuts. We're not. We're people who respect your right not to want to own a gun as much as we respect and expect you to respect our right to own a firearm. Thank you, Jeff, and have a Merry Christmas, sir. And let's see if we can get Dave. We tried to get Dave before the break. Dave in Virginia, welcome to the show, sir. Can you hear me now?
Hey, thanks a lot. Appreciate you taking my call. Big fan of Chris. You're doing a great job filling the shoes. I'm just wondering, where was everybody back in November when we were voting? And you guys knew what we were going to get if we got Democrats. When I went to the poll, I had people mugging me trying to hand me a sample ballot for the Democrats. I had to, go in, educated.
Dave, I'll tell you that I think we openly admit, we in the conservative end of things politically openly admit the Democrats in several states had more momentum and were better organized. And it's just very unfortunate. But let's hope everybody's awake now and knows that 2020 is really an important year. And we have to start now. I watched this kid, Scott Pressler, the young kid. He happens to be a young gay conservative who's been cleaning up trash in cities all around the country. He's the guy who went to Baltimore and cleaned up several tons, and he's now gone to cities all over the country, and he's donating his time and organizing people to clean up. And he is also registering voters every time he goes there. If you read Brad Parscale's Twitter feed, and you should, you'll notice that after every Trump rally, they post the attendance of people, how many of them are registered voters, how many of them voted in the last couple of elections, and how many are Democrats. And the number is staggering. How many people attend Donald Trump's rally that are registered voters who are registered Democrats? It should be very concerning to the Democrats that there are so many of their people coming to Donald Trump's rallies. But we have to register people. We have to engage people. We have to push forward towards 2020. We cannot be lackadaisical about this. Thank you, Dave. Have a Merry Christmas, sir.
Hey, Mike?
Yeah.
Hey, you can count my wife as one of those. She's a registered Democrat who's voting for Donald Trump this year.
God bless her. God bless her. That's fantastic, Dave. Thank you, sir. You guys have a great Christmas. That's great news. Glad to hear that. Let's check in with Kevin in Fredericksburg. We were talking about Nancy Pelosi's stunt.
Hello.
Hey, Kevin, you were talking about Nancy Pelosi's stunt, and you think the GOP in the Senate should just go ahead?
The Democrats had a show trial in the House.
Yeah.
Right? We all know that was a show trial. They wouldn't let witnesses from the other side do it all. I think the Republicans should do the same thing, have a show trial in the Senate, take their vote and say, we've already dealt with the House's vote because they voted for an impeachment. We just took it up and didn't wait for them. And then be done with it.
Well,
so make sure they have all the witnesses. And by the way, Die Hard is a Christmas movie, but only for guys.
Now you're sounding like a Democrat, putting gender exclusions on things and putting us all in boxes. That's a very good point on Die Hard, that it traditionally men seem to look at it as a Christmas movie. But your point about the Senate going ahead and having a trial, I don't think you'll get the Supreme Court Chief Justice to join, and I don't think the House would send over its managers. I'm using air quotes on that because that's supposed to who's managing the case, supposed to be managing the case. And I doubt Democrats would comply. What the Senate can do is do some kind of action that would diminish what the Pelosi crew has done, would take some of the steam out of it. But I don't think if they can go ahead and have a full trial. I think that would be easily shut down. But we'll see. Pelosi, again, I think she strapped the articles of impeachment to her body and wrapped it in Spanx. And it's sort of like a suicide vest as she goes back home. I'm going to step aside for a break. When we get back, more of your calls. Mike Opelka here in for my buddy Chris Plant. The number, of course, 630-9625. It's 888-630-9625, The Chris Plant Show.
You're listening to The Chris Plant Show.
what is it costing you in vet bills for that convenience of just pulling open a bag of
formulated, extruded, processed cereal bits that cost a ton of money anyways?
How do you feed your dog to derive not only energy, but a good coat, bright eyes, and a great attitude?
Come to Dinovite for help.
Dinovite.com.
I found his raw meat diet on Dinovite.com.
With just the raw meat and the eggs and the Dinovite and the Super Omega on top of it.
Try Super Omega fish oil.
Buy two, get one free.
Ground beef, white rice, eggs, including the shells, and the Dinovite supplement, and then the Lico-Chops.
Try Lico-Chops. Buy two, get one free.
It just balances out his body and his mind and his spirit.
Adding Dinovite to their diet has every single dog in my kennel looking better than they have ever looked.
Their skin is so much better now that they're on the raw diet. I don't even give them the kibble anymore.
Dinovite.com.
Your home is important. That's why GEICO helps make it easy to save on homeowners insurance. Because home is more than just a place. Home is where you curl up on the couch in a fetal position and cry at cheesy movies, even though you've seen them 1,000 times and have all the lines memorized.
You and me.
And also you with me.
And you and I.
The GEICO Insurance Agency could help protect the tear-filled comfort zone you call home. Call GEICO and see how easy it is to switch and save on homeowners insurance.
It's not too late to get something great. Get to Kohl's and take an extra 15 or 20% off. Save on the gifts they want, like fine jewelry, the Xbox One S, toys and games, a new Fitbit, fine fragrance, and so much more. Plus, get Kohl's cash. Plus, stores are now open 24 hours through 6 p.m. Christmas Eve. You'll find new gifts at every turn this holiday at Kohl's. 15 and 20% offers valid December 10th through 24th with promo code Big Savings. Some exclusions apply. See store or Kohl's.com for details.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
Alan Gordon, Coach Master Collision. She had minor damage to her rear bumper. I wrote her an estimate. Later, I received a call. The lady responsible for the damage wanted to pay for the repairs out of pocket. Her insurance agent told her a claim would raise her rates for years. With our experience in the claim process, I explained to her most insurance companies would forgive a claim if the cost was below a minimum amount. I suggested she contact her insurance agent and have them review her policy. She called back very excited. It appeared her policy did extend forgiveness. They would pay for the repairs, and she wouldn't be charged with a claim or have to pay a deductible. The accident would not cost her a thing. She was very pleased. Good thing the vehicle owner came to the right place for repairs. We all pay a lot for insurance. Choosing Coachmaster will ensure you get the most for your money. Let this experience work for you. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
KCNR is proud to announce that we are now live at 96.5 FM, as well as online, and as always, heard on 1460 AM. Weekday mornings, wake up with the Sue McClain News Hour, followed by Free Fire Radio, your talk radio station at the epicenter of change in downtown Reading. 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. Noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. 3 to 6, the hard-hitting constitutional expert, Mark Levin. Monday through Thursdays at 6 p.m., local shows feature everything from the paranormal to pop culture to unsung heroes of our area. 7 to 9, Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. And finish your weekday with the Chris Plant Show, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. KCNR, now on 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and always online. More than ever, we're your locally owned, community-connected talk radio.
Friday. Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah to you and yours. Hanukkah starts this weekend, Christmas next week, but we're running up to it, 5 days away. Four, if you think Christmas Eve. Mike Opelka, my name, sitting in for Chris Plant. And man, oh, Manischewitz, to use a phrase that Chris and I both use, which is kind of weird. There's a whole lot of audio from last night's crazy debate. And the debate, somebody asked me today, who do you think did really well last night? And I said, Cory Booker. Well, he wasn't on the stage. Yeah, that's right. Cory Booker did great. I thought he crushed it. They didn't get it, but there it is. You can join the conversation today on any of the topics, including whether or not Die Hard is a Christmas movie. Several of you weighing in. It appears men think it is. And maybe women not so much. A gender delineation, if you will. Not to play identity politics with my polling. The number 888-630-9625. George is on the phone. George is in Staten, Italy, otherwise known as Staten Island to the rest of the world. George, welcome to the show. How's everybody doing in Staten, Italy?
Hey, Mike. Good to talk to you. Staten Island's okay. It's kind of crazy around here. It's more Republican than the rest of New York City. Not Republican enough.
Yeah. Well, that's always the case for me. I lived in New York City in Midtown Manhattan for 23 years. My wife and I were there, and we were outnumbered. And whenever we would need a little bit of sanity, we would go way out east on Long Island to parts of the Hamptons, although that's been infiltrated, or we would go to Staten Island. And
uh-huh.
There were a lot of great Republicans in Staten Island. I trust
Indeed.
You are one.
Well, what I'm upset about, sir, lifetime Democrat here, registered, haven't been able to vote Democrat since I cast my first vote for a peanut farmer.
Okay.
And, I wanted to switch, and I sent in my registration form, New York State, and I got it back in the mail saying it will be effective the day after the next election in November. We were talking about gun rights earlier, and I'm wondering, well, what about the right to be registered with the party of your choice? Should that take multiple years? I don't know how long it takes, but I did give them more than 1 year.
It shouldn't take a day if we're based on all of the technology we have today. If you want to switch parties, you ought to be able to do it instantly. I'm sorry that happened, but I'm glad your registration card now says Republican. Mine says independent because here where I live in Delaware is so blue in the northern part of the state, I really don't matter, and I do vote, but it's very difficult to get anything done here, and I just don't want the constant barrage of mail and begging for money. I get all the text messages from all the candidates, but give my regards to Staten Island, George. It's a great place with a bunch of good people, and stop by Rab's Country Lanes and Bowl a game for me, if you would, over the holidays. There he goes. Let's check in with Jeremy in Elizabethtown. I'm assuming that's Elizabethtown, New Jersey. Welcome to the Chris Plant Show, Jeremy. You're weighing in on the Die Hard controversy?
Yes, sir, Chris. But first, I need to make a correction. Don't curse me with the New Jersey. It's Elizabethtown, North Carolina.
Elizabeth would have been New Jersey. Elizabethtown is North Carolina,
state. I hit New Jersey in 2008, and I have no interest in going back.
Well, God bless you for getting out. Elizabeth, it's a beautiful name, but if you've been to New Jersey, it's a smelly place. I'm just saying.
Yes, it is.
I don't want to besmirch them or degrade them. But where do you stand on Die Hard and its status as a Christmas movie?
All right. Christmas movies come with two qualifiers, and it's an either or, not an and. It's either specifically about Christmas or a Christmas-related topic, or it only plays well during the Christmas season.
Hmm.
And Die Hard would not play well in the middle of July.
So you're saying
Christmas season is the only time when it really resonates, and the theme of the movie comes across as much as the action. And I think that qualifier there, that it only really plays well during the Christmas season, is the qualifier for, yes, it is indeed a Christmas movie.
Well, I like the fact that you actually had standards for your decision-making that you brought to the conversation. So I appreciate your input on that. Thank you, Jeremy. You have a great Christmas holiday. Merry Christmas. And now I do think we have a New Jerseyite on the phone. On line three, I believe it's Jim in Montclair. Jim, we got under a minute. Die Hard, is it a romantic comedy?
I'm afraid I'm not from New Jersey, Montclair, Virginia. But
how?
No, it's not a Christmas movie. It's a rom-com.
Okay. A rom-com.
My
so
wife,
you think this
yes,
John McClane, it's a rom-com?
It's a rom-com. My wife and I, for our first date, went to see Die Hard. And therefore, it is a romantic comedy because it was a good sign. My wife didn't make me take her to a rom-com. She allowed me to take her to Die Hard. That was a very good sign that we were compatible.
That's a beautiful story, and it's the perfect story to wrap up the first hour of today's Chris Plant Show with me, Mike Opelka, sitting in. You can join the conversation, 888-630-9625. Come on back.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.